3, The Game.
101.3, The Game. It's The Huddle. Right. Powered in part by Buffalo Wild Wings, Burlington and Plattsburgh. Wings, beer, sports. And by Able Paint, Glass and Flooring. If you need it, they've got it. They're Able. AbleVT.com. And by Reuben James, Main Street, Burlington. Online at RJSBurlington.com. The Huddle is now on 101.3 The Game, 101.3TheGame.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, all accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Woohoo!
Well, woohoo on a Monday.
It's a great week. And...
Wow.
But we were busy. We're all over the place.
Is it still pouring out?
Yes.
Good. I actually like the rain. As long as I don't have anything to do, I really don't mind the pouring rain or the wind. It was fun to sleep in that last night.
So rainy days and Mondays don't always get you down.
Why? No.
Name the artist.
Hey, don't have a clue.
Someone from the 1840s.
Yes. The Carpenters.
Oh, that's okay. Right. Karen?
Yes, Karen and Richard.
Big weekend last weekend or what?
You mean the one that just finished?
Yeah, the one that just finished.
I had football on Friday. Good fun. Packed house. Homecoming. Fireworks at Essex.
You have any dates is what I meant.
Oh, it was the whole weekend was one constant giant date. It was just fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm all in, boy.
Around Rich's dating life and romantic schedule.
Yes, thank you.
We all worked extra, whereas you did nothing.
Yes. Well, we all worked extra.
Yeah. Now, you did not work extra for us, at least.
I was working watching the Patriots game. What are you talking about?
That must have been exhausting.
What do you mean you're all in?
I'm all in. I'm very excited about the potential for this situation. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. You don't have to talk. Do I have to get you on the newlywed game?
Can I win a trip to Micronesia?
You win a trip to Micronesia for crying out loud.
Have so many questions, but our listeners have questions too.
Oh, do they have questions?
Rich on a podcast, but I just...
No, what would you like to know? It was fantastic. She had her first exposure to the poorhouse crowd.
I really have one main question, but I'm going to preface it this way. Do you think she's listening to the show right now?
Probably.
Then I will not ask that one question that I have. If she's listening right now, I will ask that to you in the commercial break, and I apologize to our tens of thousands of listeners right now that won't get the answer.
Arnie's going to jump in.
Yeah, I'll just jump in, though.
Of course.
What exactly do you do? I mean, what don't you do anymore that would repulse her that you're just kind of keeping on the back burner?
I have been exactly myself.
I'm still wearing my scraggly clothes
and
can't believe
drinking way too much beer over the weekend.
Do you shower when you go out?
Of course I shower every day.
So now you're fooling her right off the
Speaking of showering, you know, I didn't want to tell you this, Arnie, but I'm going to have to now.
Yes.
The other day, or last weekend, not this past weekend, but last weekend, when we did the Orange Theory.
Did I smell?
No, not you. Oh, the indoor dry triathlon at Orange Theory.
Yeah.
We all worked out there, got really sweaty. Then we went out to Five Guys, but you were so quick to leave, you didn't hang out with us. And then Rich went Ubering without having showered in his workout clothes.
I made a fortune that day.
Yeah. Who wants to get into that car?
And you still got 5 stars? I can't believe that.
So far, so good.
But I don't believe it.
Speaking of that, I had an Uber ride the other day. Bloodstains on the roof of the car.
Oh.
I gave him a 1.
Oh, that you do realize that ruins his life.
Well, considering there's bloodstains on the car, I'm lucky my life. And by the way,
ketchup.
And so get this. On the roof, ketchup. So get that. I won't say where I was going or anything just because I don't want to implicate anybody in this whole thing, but... Doesn't, as the Uber driver, isn't it your job to know where I am going?
Yes, the moment you get in the car.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I get in the car, guy goes, where are you going? Doesn't it tell you right there?
Yes, it does.
Then we start going, and eventually I'm like, I don't think we're going the right way. And
he's milking the money.
I go, don't you want to turn right here? He goes, I guess we could. I was going to go left. I was like, left's going to take you the complete opposite direction. I'm like, so we got bloodstains on the...
I was going to go backwards. I'm sorry.
So this is my competition.
We got bloodstains on the ceiling of the car. We got a guy not knowing where I'm going. We got a guy with different directions.
I love that.
Next time, I'm just going to text you and say, whatever you are doing, please come be my driver. You are Big Dave, the guy with the other guy, the 5-0 rating in this town.
Yeah, I'm in. Count me in. I have no blood that I know of in my car, especially on the roof. I Ubered Ernie Duncan around town Saturday.
Get out of here. What did Ernie have to say?
He's doing great. Yeah. Nothing. He got in the... I saw Ernie, you know, pick up Ernie, and I thought, okay, I don't know who that is. And the minute I saw him, and he had a basketball in his hand.
Of course.
I was wondering if he was in a drunken stupor, but you insisted no, that was not the case.
Good Lord, no. He was working, playing basketball with a bunch of kids.
Oh, that's nice. Yes. That's the complete opposite of a drunken stupor.
Crawdaddy says, is it just me or does it sound Rich has fallen head over heels? And Wade says, congratulations on your St. Albans girlfriend. Nothing like a fancy Franklin County female.
Absolutely.
So are we going by girlfriend now?
Sure. I mean, that's what it is.
Okay.
That's what it is. I'm in.
Do we have a name? Well, I want to. Okay.
Right, well, it's Elaine.
Okay. Elaine, I have a question for Rich.
Like Elaine Bennis.
I can't ask him, though, if you're listening. So how about stop listening, then tell Rich you're not listening anymore, then so I can ask my question. We all need to know the answer to this question.
Yeah, there's a lot on the top for entire text. I'd ask Rich anything, 802-655-6672. Real quick, we also do need some help. Please.
That's for sure. In so many ways.
Kind of like an emergency. Nothing. Of course, this is live radio. So Brady got stung by a bee and his ankle is the size of my waist.
That's pretty significant.
It's pretty significant.
Yeah. I did get stung by a bee. My ankle is swollen and itchy. It is.
And you know what? For all you know, you could be... You know, dying a slow death right now.
All I need is some Benadryl, cortisone cream, something of that regard.
Well, not really, because I've done some research, and I have in front of me the top 50 things that if it bit you, you're probably going to die. Can you describe what kind of thing bit you?
No, because I didn't see it.
Okay, so it could be any one of these.
Could have been a rattlesnake.
Or like a cicada killer bee?
I was indoors.
Wow.
Huh. Maybe it was a wasp, a bald-faced hornet.
I thought there was a fly on my leg, and so I swatted at it, and all of a sudden, my ankle is in pain. It's throbbing. It's now swollen. It's now 24 hours later.
Oh, wow.
It's now swollen.
So you mean the poison could be in your ankle?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean.
Just swirl it around in that thing. Seriously, it has swelled up. If you are a nurse, can you please text us on the Town for Attire text line? Do we have to send Brady to the hospital? Because it is getting the size of my fist.
It is pretty hard to look at.
It is pretty hard to look at.
24 hours old. If I were going to be dead, I'd be dead already.
But it doesn't swell up like that. You're not even allergic to it. Seriously, it looks like a grapefruit.
It does.
I mean, I feel like sticking a knife into it to see what comes out.
I'm not sure I want to even be in the same room.
802-655-6672. Please save Brady's life. And let us know. Tom says it could be a brown recluse spider. I thought about that also.
Yeah, of course you did.
I did. That came up number one on the list.
I don't even know what that... I guess it could...
Oh, brown recluse spider, you don't want to be bit by that.
I guess it could be a spider, but spider bites have never been... Like, I've been bitten by a spider before, too. Those seem to be, like, they welt up where they're big, like, you know, where there's kind of like giant pimples. Like, they're huge and massive. Right. You see a discernible kind of molehill there wherever you were bit. This is just a true sting.
It could be one of the bumblebees, one of the American bumblebees. I seriously have like the top 70 or 80 things in Vermont. I did Google this before the show because I was concerned about you or because I wanted to make fun of you. I'm not really sure. But it swelled up so much. The bicolored sweet bee wasp is number 6 on the list. And I'm thinking if that bit you, that could really mess you up.
You do realize when you Google any medical situation, all it's going to tell you is the worst possible outcome. That's why I never Google anything. If I have a anything anywhere, I don't want to know.
Well, seriously, there could be poison in his ankle.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It wouldn't be very fun if we had to amputate his ankle.
No. And plus, how is he going to get up the stairs in
exactly.
his building?
Exactly. Call him what? 1 foot?
But at least
behind his back?
What? But at least if I only had one ankle, you might be able to score a point in basketball.
I was thinking I could beat him in basketball. Then how about that?
Maybe you could actually score a point.
What's going to happen when we go out of remote? You're going to go ahead and help him get out of the car and stuff like that? Yeah.
Apparently,
because he's only got 1 foot now.
We'll just need ramps everywhere.
Gosh. And you know, I feel like we can help you. Brady may need to have his leg amputated to save his life. That's Skip and Swanton.
Wow.
And Skip is a doctor.
I'm going to guess not.
I'm thinking he is.
Why? Because his name is Skip?
Yeah.
And everyone from Swanton is a doctor?
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, okay?
Okay, the girlfriend is from Swanton, and she is, in fact, not a doctor.
Clearly, because she's not smart enough to know not to get involved with you.
Prove Skip is not a doctor. Stick it out and do the show, Brady. That's from CJ.
Actually, I am sticking it out. Yeah. You're the one. I wouldn't even have brought it up.
But you could go into epileptic shock.
That's not the word.
It was close. I said it fast.
All right. 802-655-6672.
I got him going in the shock by 5 o'clock. Yeah. Go ahead, Brady.
I'm going to try to live. Like Sam Darnold, my plan is to live this week. So we are on Twitch, twitch.tv/1013thegame. Remember, give us the like button, the follow button, the little purple heart. You'll get a link live every time we go. You'll get a link to our show every time we go live at 3
show
o'clock.
Show your ankle on Twitch. That'd be awesome. Oh, yes.
Yeah, you see, it'd be a nice glare there. Yeah. Just like when you try to show your phone, you don't realize that it doesn't actually work.
Does it?
So,
oh, okay.
No. Our various events this weekend were awesome, by the way. Congratulations to Shelburne Tap House, which won the Best Bloody Mary competition for the New England Hemophilia Association. Burger Bar was awesome yesterday. All the Pats fans were out. That was a great time. Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, 15 minutes from now. We'll get into the Yankees, who are looking to dust off the Twins today. And one member of the New York Giants not happy with how he's being used. But first, it wasn't always pretty, but the Patriots are now 5-0 after doing a whole lot of this yesterday to the Washington Redskins.
Brady gives it to Michelle. Michelle, the 10, the 5, looking for the end zone, and he gets there.
Pats won 33-7.
They are to the crowd.
Yeah.
It's like a home game.
Well, that's what it looked like, too. It's a lot of pictures there. I wouldn't show my face in Washington if I were a Redskins fan either. So Pats are 5-0. Look, on the surface, it looked good. The final score is what you want it to be. They covered the spread, but ultimately I wasn't that impressed. And I know it's hard to complain here about a team that's 5-0 when now there are not other, you know, there's only one other unbeaten team in the league, and it's the San Francisco 49ers. But I got some complaints about how they played yesterday.
You know, I said I don't care how tough their schedule is through a 4 or 5 game stretch. This can't be good for them. Maybe it's good because they get to stay healthy for the most part, but this is not any test. I took more from the Miami Dolphin game than I took out of this game. I know the Redskins had that first long run, but this is. I mean, you could roll out the B team. You could roll out. Right. Stidham could have started this game, and they would have won this game probably about the same score. It doesn't get anybody ready. They finally got a running game, but I don't know what I could take it. Take it at face value. This is the worst team. Actually, probably the second worst team. They play the Dolphins next week. The Dolphins are a 3.5-point underdog to this Redskin team at home. You figure out, I can't believe that. How bad are the Dolphins? But and that's the worst game I've ever heard in my life. But you can't take anything from this game. It was the Redskins.
No, and it was such a comfortable game. I'm just sitting there watching it, and Sims goes on for his 65-yarder, and you know all the Patriots missing their tackles. And I just sat there and said to the guy sitting next to me, I said, I guarantee you those are the only points they're going to score today. You knew if Washington was even going to get on the board, it was going to be some sort of a fluky play where like a pick six or a kickoff return or something. And they were, you know, they're down 7-6 for the longest time and up 9-7, I think, at the half.
12-7.
12-7. It just felt comfortable. I mean, there was never any point as a Pats fan where I said, uh-oh.
I can't believe, you might not have been saying uh-oh, but the fact that you're going to sit here and tell me that you were happy about that game yesterday, I don't believe that for a second.
No, my point is that I never, the outcome, no matter what the score, was never in doubt in my mind. What I didn't like was that first half performance by the offense. Look, that was a mess.
There was a lot of things not to like about that game in the first half. Nugent misses the PAT right after he gets signed. He almost missed the second one. It hit the upright and then went in. Okay, they go for it on fourth down because they don't trust the kicking game, and then James White gets stopped.
That was horrible.
There were things to not like about that performance, and I'm going to harp on this, and we'll ask Austin Gale about this in 10 minutes when he joins us. Offensive balance, I don't see it, and I don't like it, okay? I know that people on Twitter are going to come out at me and say, Brady, how can you complain this much about a 5-0 team? What this team would do to give to be 5-0? Who are you to complain about the Patriots' performance? Well, you know what? When you have to pass the ball 31 of your first 38 offensive plays because you don't have the offensive line or the belief in the offensive line or your running game to run the football, that's a problem. And you saw what happened yesterday to the Kansas City Chiefs against the Indianapolis Colts. The offensive line for the Colts dominated the game, pushed them back. They were able to go for it and get it on fourth down multiple times late in the game. Marlon Mack ran all over them. You want to beat Patrick Mahomes, keep him off the field. You want to win the playoffs, keep the other offense off the field. And the Patriots, they don't have the ability to do that because they cannot run the football. I don't care that they ended up with 130 yards rushing. It's a problem that the only way they can amount those rushing yards is late in the game against a bad, worn-down team that knew their coach was about to get fired, that had given up. In the first half, when that was still a game, they wouldn't even dare to run the football, and that's a problem.
Roger says, Pats always played to the level of their competition. Last year proved it. They have a hurt Edelman, Dorsett out, Rex out, two linemen out. Brady still got 346 yards and over 100 yards rushing. Doesn't matter. Everybody has somebody out. I see the injuries last night. The Colts, I mean, they were calling me up to play the secondary. They were down to like practice squad guys that were getting starts out there in the secondary against a Kansas City team. Everybody's got injuries out there. Don't use that as an excuse. But I do agree you can't take much into it. Yeah, the Patriots played down to the competition. That's all this really means.
Well, statistically, I was happy, and I was glad to see, although I think he's ailing, I was glad to see Julian Edelman getting back into the game. He had
a ton of
targets. It was a classic Edelman game, though. I think he had eight catches over 100 yards and just all, you know, most of it right there in the slot. Classic 3rd and 7, they get 8. I mean, I saw a lot of things that make the Patriots great happening yesterday, but that offensive performance in the first half absolutely didn't quell my fears at all moving forward about that situation.
Yeah, the offense was a struggle for a lot of the game, and I think Tom Brady acknowledges that after the game. He acknowledged it last week after the game. It could be a lot better. There's things to clean up, etc. They didn't run the ball well until the game was very much out of hand. The offensive line, Brady was sacked 4 times. He was, what, 9 hurries or whatever, 9 times he was hit?
He was hit a lot.
I mean, yes, he was.
And we gave the Bills a lot of credit because the Bills' defense is good. The Redskins' defense isn't good. The Redskins' front 7 is not very good. And they got to Brady, and they got to him early, and they got to him often. And maybe people will say that, well, hey, you put the ball in Tom Brady's hands, and that's when good things will happen. Fine, maybe the Patriots' best offense is giving it to Tom Brady and not running the football all that much. But you know what? The more Tom Brady goes back to pass, the more Tom Brady has an opportunity to get hit. And with this line, he is getting hit and getting hit a lot. I'd much rather see them run the ball 28, 30 times and him pass it 28, 30 times if they get 60 offensive plays. I do not want to see Tom Brady throwing the ball 51 times, 47 times. That's not best for this team moving forward.
Well, you know what was interesting yesterday that I haven't seen in a while, certainly not this year, is Tom Brady hanging in under the pressure in the pocket. How many times, especially in that first half, was he surrounded by 3 or 4 Washington Redskins? And instead of just throwing it away, he just ducked out of the way or took the hit. And usually that ball's into the third row of the seats before anyone has a chance to touch him. But he seemed to hang in yesterday, which I wasn't really a fan of.
Rams fan Ralph says, Brady, you were spot on this one. Have another drink, Rams fan Ralph. What are you spot on about? We didn't say any. I mean, they played nobody.
They
what
need
are
to
we
have
spot
bad,
on
the
about?
Fact that they can't run the football or unwilling to run the football when the game actually matters, I think that is a concern moving forward. And the more that Brady goes back to throw, the more he gets hit, the more his judgment gets clouded as well. Look, the interception he threw in the red zone yesterday, that was the second consecutive week he's had an interception in the red zone as a result of pressure in his face. It reminded me exactly of late last season at the end of the game against Pittsburgh when he got pressure in his face. He just heaved it up to the right corner of the end zone and it ended up getting picked, and that's what partially lost in the game, or that was the play that sealed the loss for them. Had this been a good team, had this been a team that could punch back on offense at all, that interception in the red zone could come back to bite you.
I disagree with you on him getting hit, though. He dropped one time he got out of the pocket, he just dropped. So it wasn't like he was standing up in the pocket getting hit like...
I disagree. I thought he got hit a lot.
You disagree?
Yes, I saw him surrounded constantly by Redskins.
You disagree. All right, I have to do is... You want to go ahead and take a look at what happened to the Pittsburgh quarterback. What's his name? I forgot.
Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, you want to take a look at what happened to him?
No, I'm saying that.
Brady doesn't get hit like that. He drops. Mason Rudolph got hit so hard, they knocked him out.
Right.
Brady never takes a hit like that.
Yesterday that was not the case. Instead of him just throwing the ball into the dirt or just falling down like he often does, he hung in the pocket and tried to find an open man, which I didn't like.
Yeah, he's pretty smart on how to avoid getting that big hit out there. And one time he was outside the pie, he just dropped. He's like, okay, I'm not going to make it. I'm just going to go
and then
drop.
That 5-yard run for the first down was pretty impressive, although it got called back by yet another penalty.
802-655-6672. I didn't see Colin's tweet last night. Tell me about that.
Well, Colin tweeted about it after the game, after the Sunday night football game, and said, well, you're all lauding Mahomes. Notice that he spent most of the second half on the sideline, and this kind of this performance isn't going to win in Foxborough. Basically, he's saying that the Colts offensive line and running game was so good that they kept Mahomes off the field. Mahomes won't be able to get to a Super Bowl or win it if he can't get on the field. Well, you know what? Don't applaud the Patriots like that, because right now they don't have the offensive line or the run game to do what Indianapolis did. That's not even a comparison right now.
Yeah, but they may have kept them off the field and the time of possession was lopsided, but still, Kansas City didn't move the ball. Even when they had possession of the ball, they couldn't move it. That's an excuse offensively, if you're saying that. You're just making an excuse for Kansas City. Mahomes, I think we have to take him out of the Hall of Fame now. I know everybody that put him in the Hall of Fame. I think we have to go ahead and take him out of the Hall of Fame just now. I know people had him in there for the beginning of the year, but we have to pull him out for a little bit. 802-655-6672 if you want to go ahead and jump on in. Patriots, not only did they win and look average at it, I want to see what they're going to go ahead and put up this Thursday. I want to see if they've got And it's not even a great offense. You're not even getting a great Giants offense. That's the problem. I want to see. I told you that the Patriots defense is not as great or historic as everybody's making it out to be, and you'll see that the first time they play a good offense.
Well, look, the defense is very, very good, Arnie.
Maybe, it's very good. I just said historic.
Do I think they're going to allow 6.8 points per game the entire season? No, I don't. But could they allow less than 15 points a game by the time it's all said and done? Yeah, I'd say that would be certainly be possible. Their linebacking core is fast, something we didn't see a year ago. Their front seven is getting to the quarterback. They lead the league in sacks, but they had six more yesterday. The back end, that secondary, which we already knew was good.
You're giving stats on teams that don't win games other than Buffalo.
Okay,
Miami, Washington. I know this show's today, but you know, what am I going to say about those stats? Now, I'll take the over 15.5 for the remaining games if you want to start fresh. I'll take the over 15.5.
If you want to put a bet on it, sure, I will put a bet on
it. No, I'm just saying, you said right now they give up, what, 6 a game?
6.8.
I will go over, if we start fresh, the second half of the season when they play the good teams, instead of this crap. Anything we see against the Dolphins and the Redskins, it just doesn't count. They're just horrible. They're horrible teams.
But this feels so hypocritical of you because the moment that this side of the argument works in your favor, you're going to be the first one to take it, okay?
Which one?
When you tell me that, oh, the Celtics were 10-2 without Kyrie Irving. Oh, but hey, they were playing the Wizards 8 times there. Who cares? They still won the games.
I say they rest them against bad teams.
But you still use
against
it
good
as
teams, and you know what? If they lose against those bad teams, then yes, I'll use it against them. But if they win, I don't care if they win by a point or by 30 points. That doesn't make a difference in the NBA.
You say to me, when it's convenient for you, you will use that same argument. You don't care who the opponent is. You told me, oh, we can get rid of Kyrie Irving because they were 10-2 without him. They're better without him. But when they're beating Washington and the Knicks, you're using it for you. And
if Kyrie, I'll tell you what, if Kyrie, let me say this about that. If Kyrie was a likable guy, would say, hey, bring him back. Don't care if they were 10-2 without him. He just wasn't a likable guy. So I couldn't care less if they were 10-2 or 2-10 with him. I wouldn't want him back.
You're the first one to tell me that Tua is the second coming and tank for Tua. Let's put him on the Dolphins. But yet 3/4 or even 5/6 of his statistics are required against Akron, the Citadel.
Oh, I'm not putting him.
Defense number 98 out of the SEC.
Well, I'm not putting him on the team because of his statistics. I'm putting him on the team because I watch him just about every game for the last couple of years. That's why I want him on the team. Has nothing to do
with... He's putting up big numbers against these cream puffs.
I don't care what he does against the cream puffs. I see when you're playing in against the big games and the Auburns and in the championships and against the Clemsons, that's why I like Lawrence. I don't care what they do against Western Carolina. I mean, if you watch a Western Carolina game and see them beat him 56-0 and say, look how great this guy is.
Yeah.
I mean, then you're not doing your job. God,
it's like watching that Notre Dame Bowling Green game on Saturday.
No,
why am I wasting my time?
That's a problem.
I don't know what
you're totally doing. Disagree with that, Brady.
You got the new girlfriend and you're watching Notre Dame Bowling Green.
Was a blowout, too. No, I totally disagree with that. And as for the Patriots, I think a lot of people would agree with me saying you can't see what the Patriots truly are until they start getting to a higher level of play or a higher level of schedule. And that just hasn't happened.
But right the one now. Thing that I'm encouraged about is they haven't had that stinker. And they have. I think most of the Buffalo first half and most of the Washington half were stinkers. But last year they had stinkers against bad teams. And they were, 4-2 at this point? 3-2? Whatever it was.
They were 3-2.
They lost early to Jacksonville. They lost to Tennessee. I mean, they had games where they were just awful against not very good teams. And they lost those games.
Look, I understand that maybe the Patriots aren't going to be the 85 Bears by the time this thing is said and done. But to sit here and insinuate that they are only a product defensively of their soft schedule, I don't believe that to be accurate. They've got one of the top secondaries in the league. We're going to talk to Austin Gale from Pro Football Focus here after the other side of the break. We can ask him these questions about how they grade out in comparison to other great defenses. But this defense is very, very good. Do they need to prove it against somebody more dynamic than the Redskins or some backup quarterback for the Jets? Yes, but to sit here and say that they're totally, a fabrication, that doesn't seem to be fair also.
Crawdad, he says, the Patriots showed up to work yesterday like I show up for a quarterly all-day safety meeting. Easy to sleep through, even with a slight hangover. Travis is ripping me. He says, first of all, there's no Western Carolina, and Arnie is a born hypocrite. There's no Western Carolina?
Is it Eastern Carolina? Asheville or something?
No. I don't know. Is there no Western Carolina football, Brady? Can we look that up? Tua's analysis making it clear he doesn't watch college football. That CJ in Burlington. It's not about the bad teams.
Wow.
It's about the good teams and what Tua does And Tua really is something special.
Western already. Carolina is called the Catamounts.
Oh, I knew there was a Western Carolina.
They played this past weekend and lost to Gardner-Webb 24-21.
Okay, I knew there was a Western Carolina.
That's funny because Travis and Milton's the one on Twitter who hates you especially, and who came in and did the show and always gives you grief for being the hot take guy. So here he is wrong with the facts.
And follows it up with Arnie's a born hypocrite as he gets his facts wrong. That's always, I always
like that. Yeah, Travis. Vianor Tires told me about that, Brady.
Yeah, this one's pretty cool. We do this every year. So in addition to giving away a new car, which we're doing as well, doing the Trucks and Bucks promotion, we are also here giving away at the end of the week. This is only a 1 week long promotion. Ooh. We're giving away a set of 4 Nokian Tigers, ooh, either in passenger or light truck tires only from the current 2019 catalog. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to get qualifiers multiple times per show every day this week. And by next Monday, we're going to have a winner. So 802-655-6672. Be caller number 5 right now to qualify for those Nokian tires from Vianor.
Call now, 802-655-6672. Austin Gale, coming up next, right here on In the Huddle, 101.3 The Game.
The Huddle, Arnie.
That's why I'm like Einstein.
Rich.
Any movie's worth seeing, by the way. I haven't been to a movie in years.
Brady.
A lot of people don't like Friends. I don't know who these people are.
It's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, welcome back. You're in The Huddle. 101.3 The Game. Busy, busy Monday. So much to get to, guys. Right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, he's the NFL insider at Pro Football Focus. He joins us every Monday at 3:25. It's Austin Gale. How you doing, Austin?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, I had to watch that Patriot game. It almost blinded me. All right off the bat, Patriots, Redskins, give us your assessment. What did you think of that fantastic game?
You know, it's interesting to see the offense kind of struggle against what really is a bad Washington Redskins defense. I didn't expect Tom Brady to go into this one and have as many issues as he did. I think they did in a sense get bailed out by what is already just an outstanding defense, one of the highest graded defenses in the NFL right now. They are leading the NFL in EPA per play, yards allowed per play. I mean, really everywhere you look in PFF metrics, the New England Patriots defense is among the best. And you look at this game specifically, Jamie Collins, a 90.4 single game grade, Jason McCourty, a 90.3 single game grade. I mean, Bill Belichick is doing such a good job with this defense that struggles on the offensive side of the ball, uncharacteristic struggles, if you will, are being made up for by what really is a great Patriots defense. Mm.
Now, do you think that's a great Patriots defense against a Kansas City or a Dallas or some of these teams they're going to see in the second half? I mean, they basically just missed a couple tackles on one play, and that was about all they gave up the entire day yesterday.
You know, I think this defense going against some of the better offenses in the NFL will give up more points, but I think still a lot of the fundamentals of this defense are fantastic because I think it's not a defense that's predicated on, you know, elite talent, but rather a very good scheme. And I think this scheme and Bill Belichick pulling the strings when he does go against the Kansas City Chiefs offense or some of the other top offenses in the NFL, I think he's going to be able to limit them very much so. I think there's just so much talent in the secondary. Pass rush is solid. They have great linebackers, and I really do think this Patriots defense is going to finish this season as one of the better ones in the NFL.
Well, Austin, look, it's on a historic track right now. How does this defense stack up to other historic defenses we've seen over the last couple of years? Seahawks, Broncos come to mind.
I think what's interesting is that this defense is so good without a ton of star power. Stephon Gilmore in this game was actually the lowest graded defender for the New England Patriots. They relied on other guys. They have so many other guys that can step up for this defense. And I think that's what has me backing it and really supporting it, because I know it's not one player kind of leading the show or a game-changing talent, but rather the scheme itself putting players in a position to have success. And I think that's exactly what you're seeing with the Patriots right now.
Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, with us every single Monday at this time, recaps what happened on Sunday during the NFL on The Huddle. 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. Hey, let's move over to the offense. Something we noticed yesterday, Sony Michel ran more pass-catching routes than I think at any game last season. Is he starting to become a viable part of the passing game for the Pats?
I think so, and I think he's going to have to be if Rex Burkhead will miss games. I think you get in James White involved as much as you can. He has a very high target rate. You know, that's targets divided by total snaps in route. I think he still will maintain that throughout the year, but getting Sony Michel involved in the passing game is a good thing for this Patriots offense. You can add above expectation better as a receiver than a runner oftentimes at the running back position because you're so often given a mismatch against a linebacker or a safety when you do split out or run routes out of the backfield. I think this Patriots offense, especially as they're kind of looking for another receiver to step up outside of Julian Edelman, they're going to continue to involve their best athletes in the receiving game. I think that's what you see with James White and Sony Michel.
Austin, we'll get back into the offense. I just have a quick question because last night I had Pete Bukowski on. He's the Packer insider. And I made the mistake of after asking him after that Cowboy game, or I said, well, the Packers have to be the number one team in the NFC. Are they the number two team in the NFL? And he jumped out my throat going, why aren't they the number one team in the NFL? Who is? And I said, well, you got the Patriots. He goes, we're better than the Patriots. Look who they've played. And he went on and on and on. Who is number one in the NFL right now?
I'd still say the Patriots are number one in the NFL right now. I think we can expect Tom Brady to regress up to the mean. I think he's played poorly in some bits, but I think you have to bank on the fact that he's going to improve and look better moving forward. And as for the Green Bay Packers, I think they're a very good team, but not better than the Patriots right now. I still think you'd like to see some more passing efficiency with this offense. They have Aaron Rodgers, and were without Devontae Adams against the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
But they really ran wild with Aaron Jones, and I still am looking for more from Rodgers and company through the air for me to kind of buy in as them being the best team in the NFL. They're still very good, and a dominant team, one of the best NFC teams in the NFL. But again, I still give the nod to the New England Patriots.
Obviously hard to find negatives in a 33-7 win, but man, Austin, that first half, Brady was getting hit a lot. I mean, how is the O-line grading out at this point?
Yeah, not great. This was a tough one, and I think you look at what Tom Brady did under pressure, only 5 completions from 10 attempts for 92 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. I think a good grade, but not great. He's definitely more inaccurate under pressure, just like all other quarterbacks. And looking at the offensive line specifically, you have guys like Ted Karras earning a 28.5 pass blocking grade from the interior. He allowed 3 pressures. You had 2 other offensive linemen allowing 3 pressures as well. I think this offensive line can't afford to do that. I mean, Tom Brady is so good from a clean pocket that they need to be much better up front and allowing him to kind of take advantage of those situations.
Austin, I'm going to harp on one word for the Patriots offense, and I've been doing it for the last couple of weeks, and I will continue to do so, is balance. This team threw on 31 of its first 38 offensive plays. They just seem unwilling or unable to run the football. People will point to the second half, but I just consider that to be a product of a worn-down and bad Washington defense, and I wasn't all that impressed by the run game yesterday. Am I making too much of it?
I think so. I think they see right now with James Devlin out and Sony Michel kind of struggling to force missed tackles that the passing game is still the clear-cut strength, and I think they tried to attack that, a bad Redskins secondary, and maybe not as balanced as they maybe wanted to be going in, but I think you putting the ball in Tom Brady's hands that many times is going to, more often than not, benefit your team. I think them having a high percentage of passing plays is not a bad thing. You look at right now the Kansas City Chiefs, on early downs, they're passing nearly 76% of the time. That's insane, and they're one of the best offenses in the NFL. They rank in the top 5 in expected points added per play. Didn't have a great game against Indianapolis last night, but again, it's one of the most efficient offenses because of that balance, heavy pass balance that they do have. I think the Patriots could benefit from passing at a similar rate.
Austin, they're going to take on the Giants on Thursday in what is a short turnaround getting to Thursday Night Football. Giants lost yesterday to the Vikings. Daniel Jones struggled again, missed on a couple of big throws. If he hits them, maybe it looks different, but what'd you think of him?
I've said this multiple times, it's going to be a roller coaster season for Daniel Jones. His highs will be great and his lows will be low because he's still a quarterback that struggles with accuracy. If you look at in PFF's ball charting, he has a very high percentage of off-target, uncatchable throws, and you saw that this past week, and I think you're going to continue to see that. He's going to be thrive under pressure at times, be able to stay in the pocket, take a hit, and deliver the ball downfield, but at the same time, he's going to struggle with pinpoint accuracy 10-plus yards down the field, and you're going against a defensive coordinator that knows that. He's going to be in a world of hurt against a very good Patriots defense, especially on a short week. I would not bank on Daniel Jones looking great on Thursday.
Austin, I got a side note question. How do the guys at Pro Football Focus watch games? Are you all watching one individual game and writing that up after the fact? Are you watching the coaches' tape after the game, Red Zone channel? How do you guys watch the games?
That's a great question. So our team of first review analysts all watch one side of the ball. So you'll watch the Patriots defense versus the Giants offense. You'll analyze, grade every single player on those plays on broadcast tape. Then a second set of analysts will do the same thing for that same side of the ball. And then a third set of analysts will come through and review those grades and make comments on all 22 that gets delivered shortly after broadcast. And as for some of our, you know, kind of public-facing talents, we'll watch it all together, you know, on multiple TVs here at the office and then go through the grades and comb through some of the things as we head into Monday. It's a long Sunday and Sunday night, that's for sure. But we try and watch the games together as much as we can and lean on our analysts to kind of help us with the grades and stuff.
Look, I don't know how healthy he is, but why rush Saquon Barkley back? I know it's a short week, and boy, if he's ready to go, it certainly gives the Giants an advantage. Are the Giants worried that the season's slipping away? Do they see a little bit of, hey, we're only one game out of this because the Cowboys and Eagles are 3-2? Or they're like, hey, no, he's ready to go. He's 100%. Or, gosh, another 10 days certainly would help him resting that ankle. What do you think about Barkley coming back?
You know, I definitely wouldn't rush him back, but he's a guy that if he came to you and said, you know, I'm 100%, I can play in this game, I'm doing it. I think you don't rush him back unless he's confident he's 100%. Because, again, this Giants team is still, you know, maybe I obviously do want to still chase a playoff berth this year. They still want to push, you know, push for some success with Daniel Jones, but you have to, you know, have your eyes on the future. Daniel Jones still learning the speed of the NFL, still kind of, you know, getting his lumps as a rookie, and I think with Saquon Barkley, you don't want to force him back. Look ahead to 2020 where you can add to the receiving core, add to the defensive side of the ball, and put this team in a real position, a healthy position, to compete in the NFC East. Right now, I don't think they should be worried so much on this week or even these next few weeks, but look ahead to the future. Try and put your players in the best position to have success in 2020 rather than potentially, you know, risk injury this year for maybe something that's not worth it.
Well, it didn't take long for Golden Tate to be unhappy. I mean, he's already complaining about his usage after one full game. In your eyes, as you watched that game yesterday, were they using him correctly?
I would say they're using him correctly. I think the biggest thing he wants is just more targets. I think more targets and maybe some more targets downfield. They know he's a great, you know, receiver after the catch. Wanting to get him involved on a low average of the target on shallow stuff makes a ton of sense because he can do so much with the ball in his hands. But I'm sure as a receiver, he knows he's good after the catch, but he likes to win downfield. I think the Giants could benefit from pushing him downfield. I mean, six targets for 13 yards is pretty abysmal and a sign that you're trying to get him involved, you know, close to the line of scrimmage. But then you have to look back at Daniel Jones. This is a guy that gets comfortable throwing fewer than 10-plus yards down the field. I think you don't want to, you know, get him out of his zone either. I think Golden Tate would benefit from a more vertical route tree, but I understand where the Giants are coming from trying to get Daniel Jones to throw him close to the line of scrimmage.
Austin, through 5 weeks, what surprised you most about the NFL?
I think the Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, the Vikings offense overall, I knew they were going to want to get back to the run game with this outside zone scheme and get Dalvin Cook going, but it is pretty wild to see just how, you know, Adam Thielen had a good game this past week, but how little they were used compared to previous year. I think both of those receivers are two of the best at their position in the NFL, and to see how little they're used and how much the Vikings kind of lean on 12 personnel and outside zone, it's crazy to see because I really think this offense could be even better if it was a little bit more scheme versatile and got those guys involved, did that, you know, heavy usage of passing on early downs. I think you would see a better Vikings offense that way.
He's Austin Gale, NFL Insider, Pro Football Focus. He joins us every Monday at 3:25. Austin, always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll speak to you next week.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. Thanks to Austin for stopping on by, breaking down. And, you know, Brady, I know the show is today, but I just can't take, I just can't read a whole heck of a lot into it. You know, if you're playing the big teams, if you're playing the Green Bay's, I could read more into the Green Bay-Dallas game and teams like that. I can't read into Washington and Miami and the Jets.
Yeah, but when it goes the other way, you would. If the Patriots offense was struggling, which it has been, we'd sit here and say, well, hey, the offense didn't look good and it's against really inferior teams, so there's got to be something going on with the offense. And when it goes the other way, if something negative was happening...
That's not the other way, though.
But if something negative was happening, if Tom Brady came on and threw four picks yesterday, you'd say, wow, he's throwing four picks against a really bad...
Washington.
Four picks against Washington? Man, what's wrong with Tom Brady? That's exactly what you would be saying here.
It's like Jim Harbaugh. When you beat Rutgers 52-0, you're supposed to beat Rutgers 52-0. When you beat Rutgers 14-3, then we jump on you. You're supposed to go ahead and do that, especially when you're a Super Bowl caliber team.
Yeah,
like
but there's
Tom Brady's always been.
There's certain ways of winning 52-0, even, or certain ways of winning 33-7 that are different than others. Look, if the Redskins just bumbled their way through it and fumbled five times inside their own tent, and the Patriots just walked in, that would be a lot different than what actually happened. Look at the Redskins. Get this: they ran no offensive plays yesterday from inside the Patriots' 45-yard line.
Right.
Zero plays. The fact that the Patriots are, I think they allowed what, one third down conversion yesterday.
Total one.
I mean, they allowed one third down conversion. That is not. Just even the Citadel can put up more than that on Alabama. Okay, the Patriots defense is good. Do I think that they're as intimidating as the 85 Bears? No, but to sit here and say that, oh, they're not very good, that's not entirely accurate.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have that big name on the defense, really. They don't have the Richard Dent, the Mike Singletary, you know, the Refrigerator Perry. They don't have any of those big names. They're just sort of an under-the-radar group of really, really good players without any superstars, and that's probably one of the reasons why people haven't really been taking a huge amount of notice yet.
Thanks to Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, for joining us. They said what? That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 the game.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What did he say?
The Patriots are going to go 8-8.
He really said that?
I think in today's baseball world, the Red Sox are a dynasty.
It's they said what?
We are having an earthquake.
On the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game on this Monday. Raining out there. That's it, baby. But you know what? It's still going to be in the 50s and 60s throughout for the next couple of weeks, so it's not going to get that cold.
You know, I'll tell you, Friday night, you could tell it was getting later in the regular season for high school football. I was in Essex, and everybody was very bundled up for homecoming.
It wasn't even that. Oh, it was windy.
It was cold on Friday. 40, 45.
Well, I heard the PA from my apartment, because I live right next to the... Right next to the football field. So as I'm walking our dog, at, you know, whatever, 9 o'clock at night, I hear final score: Essex 27, Colchester 7. They actually had to lift a noise ordinance in the town of Essex for the homecoming fireworks, and everyone who lives in town got a notification about it.
Yeah, and they do it. It's interesting. They do the fireworks before the game, just so it isn't, you know, 10 o'clock at night or whatever.
Yes.
So yeah, they do it right after the national anthem. They had homecoming. They had a huge bonfire, and they had a great win over Colchester. So. Everybody went home happy, at least the Essex fans did.
Brady, let's get to They Said What, though. Who's going to be first up?
They Said What?
Colin Cowherd on right before us, noon to three, talking about his takeaways from the NFL yesterday, including Dak Prescott, who he says quickly draining his own bank account.
Dak Prescott is losing money in the negotiations. It's not pretty. Dak is clearly a piece, but he is also clearly not a piece. Dallas and Green Bay played last night. Those were two levels of quarterback. One has already won a trophy and may win another. The other has won divisions. Sometimes timing works in your favor. Sometimes it works against. Dak, to me, is a franchise quarterback. And he has a lot of qualities I like. But the film doesn't lie and your eyes don't lie. When you put him in the room, in that little box called a TV set, next to Aaron Rodgers, one's a trophy room guy, and one's a guy with the top offensive line and the best running back that can win games in a division.
Colin says, Dak, losing money, not the $35 million a year quarterback.
Look, I said this last night, and I said, look, I just said there's one thing about playing when the Patriots play the bad teams. There's nothing you could tell. But then again, is it fair to me to judge Dak Prescott on what he did against Green Bay? Because they got down 31-3, and I shouldn't take consideration all the years what he's done for the Cowboys before. But it is the shows today and what you've done for me lately. That was a terrible performance by the Cowboys every which way around when it was 31-3. And unfortunately, you can't blame all of it in Dak. I know there's offensive line problems there. Tyron Smith is out. People are blaming Ezekiel Elliott, but when you get down that much, you can't run the ball. Jason Garrett's going to take the hit. For the first time in my life, I saw him lose his cool, rightfully so. But unfortunately, this will be his last year. They're going to have to let him go. And a 3-2 right now. I know it's only two losses now, back to back. But you're going in the wrong direction. He better get him in the playoffs and move toward the Super Bowl. Otherwise, you might as well just count him gone in an opening right now.
He's actually has the second most odds to get fired.
Like the second favorite?
Yeah, now that Jay Gruden's been fired, there's I don't even remember who's first anymore now at this point, Ed, but Jason Garrett is second in that one.
I would say that he will be fired at the end of the year if they don't win the division, even if they make it into the playoffs. That's not going to be good enough. And I am disappointed. I kind of railed at him last night. I know it's not fair to go after one game, but at home to a Packer team that really wasn't playing great offensively, that was an embarrassment for the Cowboys every which way.
Well, Eagles fans are sure happy. I mean, that tightens things up considerably in the NFC East, but you're right. And I mean, and you look at some, there are some other teams, we'll get to the disappointment teams and so forth in the 5 o'clock hour, but I mean, you talk about Dallas, what about the Atlanta Falcons? I mean, just giving up 53
points
to the
Texans. Oh, that's a Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn is number one.
So.
Dan Quinn is the number one favorite to be fired.
I can't imagine why. What a mess that was.
Guy who's got him to, who took him to a Super Bowl and then has just continued to backtrack every single year now to 1-4. Hey, Thursday night, we got Patriots and Giants, both of them on a quick turnaround. Thursday night football, Rich, you will be out at Reuben James in downtown Burlington.
Oh. I wonder how many people are going to come up to me and go, 2-0, 2-0. Permanent scoreboard that the Giants will forever have on us, and I'll never be able to get past it. But yeah, we're going to have a really good time. We're going to have Shinerbach beer, which I think they had sold about 800 of a couple of Thursdays ago. Mostly because it's really good, and secondly because it's only $3. But plus, it's Pats and Giants, and the place is going to be nuts. We'll start it at 8 o'clock. We'll have half price burgers and free wings from 10 o'clock till midnight.
Nice.
You can qualify to win Patriots tickets. All I can tell you is get there early because you saw what it was like Eagles Packers a couple weeks ago. Imagine what Pats Jets Giants is going to be like.
Triple E says, I'll be at the game Thursday. Go Pats. Wow.
Nice.
How about that? I would like to go to a couple games. That's for damn sure. Hour one in the books. Brady will tell you what's trending. We'll come back, get you ready for the top four at four. All that's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game.
Game. He's sometimes really wrong.
Good. I was talking to my new buddy at the at Orange Theory today. What's his name again? I wrote it down.
But he's always entertaining.
I was talking to him. He's very excited about UVM hoops this year. I said, I think they're going to beat Virginia.
It's Arnie Spanier on the huddle on 101.3, the game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game on this Monday. It's into October. We got rain. This is it, my friends. Now we have to start waiting as the snow to get upon us. The Arnie Doppler says about another 5 more weeks.
Oh, and, 5 weeks? Yeah, we're not going to see any. You did see the top of Mansfield over the weekend, right?
Well, they had snow up there. Well, I meant snow in our area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on, that's
5
top.
Weeks.
You're
right dreaming.
I think they've already opened up the first trail at Killington.
Yes, they have.
They closed it on June 2nd.
Right, the Superstar Trail.
And they've opened it now.
Yep. Are you telling me we're going to have snow before 5 weeks?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Within the next 5 weeks, we'll see something. We'll get flurries.
Really?
How about we don't talk about snow? I'm going golfing this weekend, so
what?
Let's just focus on that.
Is it going to be good weather golfing?
I mean, it's going to be between 50 and 60. I would say it's okay. I think at the British Open or the Open Championship, it's similar conditions.
I see that commercial. Is it the Coors Light commercial where the guy's golfing with one hand and the beer in the other and he's taking a swing and they're like, made for, you know, because he can't put down the beer. And I'm like, I'll knock that beer out of your hand. What are you talking about? Put down the beer and hit the golf ball.
I'm hoping for a warm weekend because I'm camping this weekend.
What do you mean you're camping?
We have a meeting up at cult camp, as you like to call it. We make the rules this weekend. So I'm spending the weekend at the camp outdoors with no electricity.
I think I'm going to cult camp this week, too.
Yeah, but in your case, it's actually a cult camp.
Are you bringing the new girlfriend?
That's what I was just about to ask.
I might have to show her the family. Yeah.
Can I ask you, seriously?
So all the people that I met when we went up there this summer, they're all back now again?
No. There'll probably be 45 of us there.
Just,
wow. We're the shareholders. I own one share of camp.
Just kind of curious, what happens if the Red Rum crew decides to give your girlfriend the thumbs down and they're not allowed to bring her to cult camp?
There's no chance that'll happen because I know her well enough and I know my family.
Wait, but you don't know the Red Rum crew. You don't
what
know
is what a Red Rum? I understand Red Rum, but...
Red Rum?
From The Shining?
Yeah, The Shining. The murder?
Red Rum crew?
Red Rum.
I understand that. Murder backwards.
You know, the cult camp. How about if you don't know what they're going to say? They may say, Richard, we don't like her.
I doubt it. They liked Brady.
Hey, and they can't really throw you out because you're a shareholder.
That's right. I own the place.
Since you own the place, you can bring whoever the hell you want to.
That's right. Damn it.
Rams fan Ralph, how bizarre. Rich is truly disturbing.
Wow. But what?
Maybe it's because you're in love. I don't know.
Maybe it's because I'm spending the weekend out of doors with no electricity or cell phone.
Alex in Moncton says, Rich, the girlfriend probably will control you and not allow you to go to cult camp.
That's the day the relationship ends, I can assure you.
And so, but Ryan says he just moved to Essex, wants to know where the best Chinese food place is. Where did you move, though? From what state? Did
Hinesburg.
You just, oh, you moved from Hinesburg? Oh, is that what it says? Yeah. Well, should you know where the best Chinese, whether you're Hinesburg or Essex? Come on. It's not like you moved from California or something.
I have a question.
Come on.
The answer is the Grand Buffet on Pearl Street in Essex. And if it's, and if you're not going to go for the buffet style, China Garden.
Yeah.
Right next to Martone's.
I do like the buffet style. Brady, let's get to the top four and four. Let's get at it.
The Huddle has 3 hours of show to cover everything, every day.
Four.
So you don't miss any.
Three.
It's the top four at four.
Two. One.
On 101.3, The Game.
Agave Taco Tequila Casa at Maple Tree Place. Order online at agavevt.com.
And?
Thanks to Grazer's Restaurant at Maple Tree Place, Williston and Main Street, St. Albans. Order online at grazersvt.com.
Hey, speaking of Grazer's and Agave, remember that tomorrow is $2 Taco Tuesday at Agave. I need a margarita. I could go for a margarita.
Right now?
No, not right now, but tomorrow, Taco Tuesday, I can go for that.
Spice up the show a little bit.
Can I just say something? Our listeners are very crabby today.
Yeah, they are. They don't like this weather.
Look what Ryan in Hinesburg just sent me.
Yeah, what he said. There's been a lot of poison going on the...
Wow.
Wow. I'm like, come on, God. That's like the third mean tweet we've got today.
Arnie, you do realize Arnie just revels in this.
No, but I don't understand that, though. I mean, okay, it was a little bit of a joke. I said, you moved from Hinesburg to Essex. It's not like you moved from California and you have to take that all sensitive.
Wow.
You know what I want to do is I want our listeners to come do the show, and I just want to text in. I just want to text in mean stuff all the time.
It's like that.
You guys suck. You guys suck.
Did you see the episode of Seinfeld where Kramer had a new girlfriend who went out to Jerry's comedy performance and hissed at him while he was doing it? He was going,
no.
So then Jerry went down to where she worked, went to her office, and booed her and heckled her.
Oh, how great.
And said, how do you like it? I'll come down to where you work and heckle you. And so he goes, boo, hiss. How are you going to be in this business if you can't take it?
So that's awesome.
She ran out crying, and then a street sweeper ran over her foot and severed her pinky toe.
That's great.
So,
by the way, Stephen Milton says the single pebble. So there you go, Ryan. I've not been to that, though, but I hear that.
Is that a Chinese place?
Yes, it's downtown.
In Burlington.
Downtown,
no, yeah. But he's asked for Essex, right. Not downtown.
I don't know Essex.
I know Essex, so I answered it. Grand Buffet in China Garden.
Yeah, we said Grand Buffet. Yeah, he even said something to you, mean, too. You did say the Grand Buffet.
He said thank you, Brady.
Oh, did he say thank you, Brady and Arnie? Gotcha. I thought we both could do that. No. Okay, well, there we go.
We actually can't read that back on the air. That's pretty rare when we can't read something because it's so vile.
And all because I said you didn't come from California. California has bad Chinese food, though.
Okay. I have no comment on that. Top 4 at 4.
Number 4.
Rich, what happened in high school football this weekend, state of Vermont? You had Essex 27, Colchester 7 on Friday. What else happened?
Well, what really happened, the big one, was the St. J. Byrne Burton game Friday night down in Manchester.
That had a lot of points to it.
Oh, my gosh. I think it was 50-38. Hutchinson, a kid named David Hutchinson for the Hilltoppers, had 6 touchdowns.
Wow.
For St. Johnsbury. So all the haves and have-nots are clearly separating themselves. St. J. is now alone in first place. They're the only undefeated team left. That was the real showdown game. So they are 6-0. Rutland is 5-1. They've been slowly kind of climbing up after an early loss. Burton with a loss goes to 5-1. BFA and Essex, a couple of local teams, both at 500 right now, both 3-3. So we'll see.
Our goal is to get some Chittenden County teams in the playoffs and maybe with some home games.
Well, the problem is that right now, if the season ended today, I believe BFA would get a home game. And they play Essex. That'd be a pretty good game. But after that, one way or another, if you're in Vermont and you're not at the top tier, you're going to have to go to either St. J. Rutland or Burton Burton, and that's not much fun.
Geez.
And then over in New York, Beekmantown opened up their brand new stadium. They beat Plattsburgh High, and I told you, I think maybe they were, because we got a text about it on Friday at Valcour saying that it was opening night. So yeah, the first night of Beekmantown's win, I think they maybe threw a shutout against Plattsburgh.
Yeah, they did 13-0.
Yeah.
But did you see that part? That field?
Yes.
Oh, goodness, that thing was beautiful. What a facility. Osable Valley 3-2. They beat Peru 30-7. Peru's having an off year for a change. That doesn't happen very often. But I also wanted to shout out to the Middlebury College Panthers football team. The big showdown at Amherst, 3-0 against 3-0, and they beat them.
They won
the
in overtime.
Yes. So they're 4-0. I believe they're alone at the top of the NESCAC football standings.
34-31, I think, was the final there of that Middlebury game. So the Panthers rolling. Good job by them. Top four at four in the huddle. 101.3 the game.
But, number three.
By the way, we now have a plethora of Chinese places for
a what?
A what?
A plethora.
That'd be a plethora.
That too.
Yeah.
That too.
Like the plethora. Isn't that where the Philadelphia basketball teams play?
I think that also. The Oriental Lock. Hop Sing is the best in Essex. And we're getting a whole bunch in. So, and Dragon House back in Hinesburg, says Justin and Williston. So there you go. That's listing probably every Chinese place we have here in the Burlington area. So there you go on that one. Go ahead.
Every town's got one. It's unbelievable. Some of them don't have red lights, but they have Chinese restaurants.
We're here to please.
Rich, is Middlebury High School still undefeated? You're getting a lot of questions about that.
Middlebury wasn't even mentioned. Yes, they are. I forgot all about it.
Yeah, so.
I'm glad. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're
totally forgot about the Tigers.
So
they are undefeated, and they are a major part of things. So that would probably be your top four. So not really any local teams other than Middlebury are going to be probably hosting playoff
Middlebury
games.
Middlebury just likes to run the football. Well, something the Patriots don't do. Middlebury does
They run for like 400 yards every game.
Number three, Bruins-Celtics updates from the weekend. Bruins are now 2-0 for total points. They beat the Coyotes 1-0 on Saturday. Brad Marchand with a late goal in the first period. And Yaroslav Halak gets his 48th career shutout.
Wow. Yeah, he's been around.
So they win it 1-0. Bees now. Look, I said they'd get out to a slow start because that Stanley Cup Finals loss hangover, and here they are 2-0 to start.
Yeah, a little slow in the offense. I actually watched this game Saturday night.
Wow. It sucks to be you.
Well, the only thing is that the college football was really bad late that night when I was on the air. I think Oregon State was clobbering UCLA. There was nothing else. There was like a Boise State game, but that was a blowout in the top 25. We had just gotten that college football. I started talking to the NFL. I had the baseball game on. And I switched it over to the Bruins because I wanted to see what was going on there. Yeah, it was tight. Goaltending saved us. We're playing tight. We're playing real well. A little worried about the offense, but I enjoyed watching that game on that night. It was a fun game to watch. Plus, now that we got the first two on the road, just keep it up. We got Vegas on tomorrow.
And Vegas is on fire. They're going to be good all year long. And then they got to go to Colorado, and the Avalanche score about 6 goals a game. So we'll see. Did you see that Montreal Canadiens-Toronto game on Saturday night?
6-5,
was that a great game?
That was a lot of fun.
Habs off to a decent start. I think they're 1-0-1 in the early going.
Yeah. See, that's the type of game I'd like to go to there in Montreal.
That was a doozy.
Yeah, that was a good
one. As far as the Bruins go, nice to get the top line on the scoring sheet there. Brad Marchand with the tally again. You know, the Bruins have only scored in the first period of games. They have not scored in any other period but the first. But nice to see Halak with the shutout, because we said a lot last year, and Arnie, you were the first one to really pick up on this, that Halak's value to the team is not only can he win games, but he can keep Tuukka fresh. And there's not a huge, huge drop-off between your top two goaltenders, and that's partially what allowed the Bruins to be really good into June last year. And Halak did it again this week. You know, he hadn't played a meaningful game since like April 4th because he didn't see one minute in the playoffs last year.
He was really good Saturday night, and if you can get him with goals against somewhere around 210 or so, that's going to be a huge
Arizona
thing.
Arizona was good.
I saw a hot take. Well, they've got Kessel now, but their offense is always horrible. Every game out there is 2-1. But I saw a thing, one of the hot takes for the NHL predictions, that Halak would have more wins than Tuukka Rask this year.
Wow.
That's a stretch, but the way he played Saturday night, he's going to get some more starts.
Over in the NBA side of things, Celtics opened up exhibition play yesterday with a 107-106 win against the Charlotte Hornets. Takeaways here, Jason Tatum led the way with 20. Kemba Walker, 12 points, 4 assists. Gordon Hayward looked pretty good.
9 points
for Gordon.
Your boy.
Don't think that wasn't the first thing I looked at. Well, look, I didn't see how many he was going to have.
He had 9 points in 20 minutes, and he got... So the biggest thing for him was he went to the basket. He went to the basket confidently, was not afraid to play above the rim, was not afraid to draw contact. I actually liked what I saw out of Gordon Hayward a lot yesterday.
He's the X factor. I expect him to be back and close. He's not going to put the points up like he was in Utah, but I expect him to be a big factor. This is the no more excuses here for Gordon.
Are you done ripping on Gordo this year?
I liked him. I just said it was going to be a bad year. I have nothing personally against him. It just wasn't. I told you it wasn't the signing I wanted. That's all.
Terry Rozier had 9 points and 9 assists yesterday for the Hornets. It was his first return. Interesting that you had Walker and Rozier playing their first games for their new teams against their old teams. Rozier played well. 9 points, 9 assists, and he got a good reception from the fans in Boston, as I think he should have.
And Rozier, it's funny because a lot of times when you make certain demands or you want to have situations fall into your lap and you're not playing that well, so you force the issue a little, it doesn't work out. But for Rozier, it sounds like he's going to run a lot of that Hornet offense. They don't have much down there, though. It's going to be a long year in Charlotte again.
The negative for this game is this game was might have been tied right at the half, but the Celtics got down 16 in the third quarter with their starters on the floor. So their starters got them down in a big way, and then their second team, third teamers, were able to come back and get the win. So the starters put them in a big hole. We saw that too much last year where they get down 18 and have to claw their way back. You don't want to be in that position all that often. Top 4 at 4, 101.3 the game.
Number 2.
The Yankees are looking to close out the Twins. American League Division Series could be a sweep. Luis Severino's on the mound tonight in Minnesota. It's game 3 of the series at Target Field. We have it for you on our sister station, WVMT, covered starting at 8 o'clock. We talked about could Power win in the postseason.
They had a lot of home runs in the first game, did they not?
Power has won in the postseason so far for the Yankees. Didi Gregorius with Grand Slam in game 2. They put up 8 in game 2 at Yankee Stadium. They had 7 in the first 2 innings.
You want to say something about your buddy Paxton and his start?
4 2/3.
Not very good, my friend. Not very good.
I mean, it's kind of what they are. That's kind of what they are wanting is just get through 4 or 5 and then go to the bullpen.
Yeah, but he gave up. What, didn't he give up like 3 runs or 4 runs? 3 runs.
Yeah, but with that offense, it's not going to matter.
No, I understand
just
that.
Get 5
wasn't
innings.
Sharp. He just
he gave up
sharp.
The 2 home runs early. The 1 to Cruz and the 1 to Polanco, I think, and then he settled down. Beyond that point, I actually thought Paxton was okay. But as I said, if you can get to him early, then you're able to take advantage of some things there. But ultimately, Yankees are up 2-0. Severino hasn't been good in the playoffs in his career. He's got an ERA of over 6 in the playoffs. But like Jake Odorizzi, he's not a guy who's going to miss a whole lot of bats for the Twins either. So I think this game will be higher scoring than people are expecting. I got an hour and 44 minutes to pick a winner in this one, but I don't think we're seeing a 2-1 game tonight.
By the way, Rays up 10-3 over the Astros in the 8th, and Cardinals 2-1 over the Braves in the top of the 4th right now. And I love the full-day baseball when they get started. I love that stuff.
Except for you who hate baseball all year.
But now
all of a sudden it's your favorite.
The only thing he doesn't like about it is it doesn't cancel the show. He was hoping that would be the case.
What's cool about this for the Yankees is, by the way, if they use the same lineup they used in games 1 and 2, get this, they've only had one stretch in the entire season where they use the same lineup 3 games in a row.
Right.
So that's how injury-driven or how injury-riddled they were this season. Aaron Judge has reached base safely in 7 of 10 plate appearances. Edwin Encarnacion's 4 for 9. DJ LeMahieu's hitting .455 with 8 RBIs against the Twins this season. I mean, these guys have continued to stay hot.
Did you see the Dodgers getting 7 runs with 2 outs?
Yes.
I was watching that whole thing. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. You can't get that final out. It was just killing them.
A great at-bat by Bellinger.
No, but I thought Russell Martin hit the 2-run double off the wall. Yeah,
the great at-bat that started the inning was a single by Bellinger. It was like a 10-pitch at-bat off Patrick Corbin.
Wow.
Top 4 at 4 in the huddle. 101.3 the game.
Number one.
Patriots moved to 5-0, and they did this yesterday.
Get up to the line of scrimmage, try and get a quick snap to get too many men on the field. On 2nd and goal, touchdown over the middle to Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman played, although he didn't look 100%. He kept grabbing at that chest a lot yesterday. But the Pats do win it 33-7. They started off slow. They came back in a big way in the second half with 21 unanswered. And the Giants lost yesterday to the Vikings 28-10.
You know, again, you can only play on who's on your schedule. And this is obviously a better test for the Patriots, but it's still a team that they're much better than.
They opened up as 15.5-point favorites.
They're a 17-point favorite, and that goes to show you how poor the other opponents are when we're saying, wow, well, we're finally going to give a little bit of a test to the Patriots. No, the Patriots are a 17-point favorite. This is like when they played the Dolphins. Almost as what was the spread in that game?
Like 23,
yeah.
I mean, this is almost as bad. This is, again, not supposed to be a test, but because of the Giants and Daniel Jones, we give a little bit more credence to it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's pretty hard to complain when you win 33-7, but that's what we Boston sports fans are. We find the cloud on a sunny day. But that first half on the offensive side of the ball was pretty awful. There was never a point in that game where I said, uh-oh. I mean, they scored the touchdown, and you knew damn well that was the last points they were going to score.
That was funny.
It was. I mean, I actually laughed about it. I said, okay, 7-0, so they're going to score 7 today instead of 0. That's all I thought about, and sure enough, they came back. But the difference with the Miami game and the Washington game is the Miami game, they just played well, pretty much. It took them a little while to get going offensively.
Yeah, yeah.
But yesterday, they couldn't do anything in the first half. And that line was allowing Brady to get hit a lot.
That was
worried
too much,
me.
Yeah,
the line was a problem yesterday. The running game was awful in the first half. They didn't even utilize the running game in the first half. As for the Giants, if I were a Giant fan, I'd be so frustrated by the first half of that game. Just missed tackle after missed tackle after missed tackle. I mean, how many times was Dalvin Cook hit 2 yards in and he breaks it off for 8, breaks it off for 9? I mean, Adam Thielen, you would have thought he was Steve Largent yesterday. He's very, very good, but you would have thought he was Jerry Rice. I mean, he's just running free in the secondary. They made Kirk Cousins look like a Hall of Famer yesterday. Missed tackles, blown coverages, allowing huge chunk plays. Daniel Jones missed 2 touchdowns. The Sterling Shepard play deep along the sideline early in the game, and then he hit Shepard in the end zone, but it too high, and Shepard can only get 1 foot in bounds. Then there's the penalty after they kick a field goal. They get first down and goal again, and then have to settle for a field goal. The Giants did some things yesterday that show you some hope for the future, which ultimately for me is what it's all about. But if you're talking about winning the game, Giants blew some chances yesterday.
Yeah, and Jones was he was getting hit too. I talk about Brady getting hit. Jones was really getting pounded yesterday. He got sacked 4 times. There was Vikings were all around him. He took a couple of big hits in the game. And he did miss a couple of passes to Sterling Shepard. He had a nice touchdown pass to Darius Slayton. That was a very nice pass.
That was a great pass,
It was, but that was about it. I think his passer rating was 65-ish, somewhere in the neighborhood. So, who knows?
I still have high expectations for the Vikings.
How do you take anything out of that?
So do I.
I still have high expectations for them. They're not, you know, even close to clicking on all cylinders, but it's only 5 weeks in. It will start to happen for them. It's just Cousins is so mentally out of it and so just a tough guy to like, and I don't think his teammates really like him all
he
that much.
He looked good yesterday. He, I will say, you know, this. He looked good yesterday.
Was it 28-10 at the half, and then, or was it?
No, 20, it was 18.
18-10.
It was 18-10.
No, 18. It was 18 whatever, and the Giants had the ball first. They were coming down the score, and they were going to get to within one score. They fumbled the ball right around the goal line, I believe, and then it was all downhill after that. I don't know. They did a few things. It could have been a lot closer game than
well, remember, there was the fumble by the Vikings at the 1 yard line where Jabril Peppers came down and made a great play. My highlight of the game yesterday was that hustle play by Peppers. He'd used the old Charles Tillman peanut punch to get the ball away from Dalvin Cook at the goal line. We're going to see these two teams on Thursday. I think 17.5 is too much
right now. That's a lot.
I mean,
In Foxborough?
It looks like Saquon Barkley is going to be back. Remember, the Patriots, we're coming on a short week here. Philip Dorsett, you don't know if he's going to play. I just have a feeling this is a game where the Patriots just want to get through it rather than run up the score.
The real gamblers will just bet the Giants to win straight up. Just say, well, because Saquon Barkley's had a rest, maybe he comes back, busts one out like crazy, and maybe you'll say the Patriots haven't played a tough running team like that in a while because they haven't had to stop anybody. I don't know. That you could probably get about 6-1. So that's worth in the NFL, I mean, there's upsets. If you bet the underdogs, you're winning 62% of the time. So, I mean, if I wanted to get true value, you just put $100 on the Giants and hope they pull out a victory.
Well, if the Giants can do to Brady what Washington did yesterday, that's be relentless in the first half and stick around for a while. But I mean, I'm looking at that linebacker crew of the Giants yesterday and thinking, who's going to stop the Patriots? I mean, Marcus Golden, David Mayo. I've never heard of half the guys that were out there for them.
That's because Connolly out for the season for the Giants on IR. You've got Alec Ogletree didn't play with the hamstring issue. I think the Giants were missing their top 3 linebackers, which is a big problem. And Lorenzo Carter didn't play. Hey, speaking of gambling, Rich, air high five for you and I because
I'm getting clobbered.
We went 3-0 this week in our picks.
Oh, again?
And look, Arnie went. Well, wait, what does that say up there, Arnie? 1-2.
So is loser? Is that Arnie?
I am just getting clobbered on my.
Almost mathematically. Do you want to just do the bet now and we'll just get it over with?
Who's the guy that doesn't like me that's been texting in?
Travis and Milton.
Maybe I should just let Travis make my picks.
But he doesn't listen anymore, so he wouldn't know you're asking.
I couldn't do any worse. I should just let him make my picks. I can't do. Well, I am 4-11.
4-11.
I am 3 behind Nick the sales guy, which is embarrassing enough.
Yeah, you really just not only do you not want to come in last because you have to row 5,000 meters and buy us all lunch, but you then would just have the embarrassment of losing to Nick the sales guy.
5,000 meters?
5,000 meters, which would take me like a month.
If you have to row 5,000 meters at Orange Theory Fitness, it would take you like over a half hour.
Yeah. The closest I've ever seen you to dropping to the floor was after your 2,000 meter row. This would be more than twice.
Does anybody
want
to do my football picks for me next weekend? Let me know, or this Friday, let me know. Town Fair Tire, text line. I can't do any worse. 802-655-6672. I'll let a listener do my picks. That maybe helped me out.
I was so glad. What was the game I had? They took a. I texted you.
Minnesota Giants
right.
under.
He could have scored. He scored. It would have gone over, but yeah. He took a knee at the 4-yard line. It's like, yes.
I like Roger. I'll help you, Arnie. We'll crush the Bobsey twins over there. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Roger. That's what I'm talking about. I need some help.
I'm in first place, 10-5. Rich is in second, 8-7. Nick the sales guy, 7-7.
He has a game tonight.
He has Cleveland +4 tonight, and Arnie, 4-11.
Yeah.
You've clinched. Next year's number one draft pick already.
I'm last in the Fox Sports one, too. That's just embarrassing.
Well, at least you have really good sports teams you cheer for.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible. Brady, tell everybody about getting a free set of Vianor tires.
Yeah, we are giving away a set of Vianor tires. We're giving it away next week. It's Nokian tires from Vianor. Okay, we're giving them away next Monday. So what we're doing is we're getting qualifiers all week long, multiple times per show. Winner will receive a set of 4 Nokian Tigers in either passenger or light truck tires only from the 2019 catalog. So we're giving you an opportunity to get brand new tires as the season gets ready to officially change over and you start thinking about winter tires, all that. We're giving you the chance to win a set of 4 brand new tires, Nokian Tires from Vianor. Call in now, 802-655-6672. Caller number 5 will be our qualifier.
All right. Let me help you, Arnie, the rest of the season. You'll end up in first. All right, we'll have to see. Maybe I'll let 3 different people do 1 pick each. All right, get the tires, call on in now. What's coming up next, Brady?
Coming up next, Golden Tate, not happy with how he was utilized by the Giants. Does he have a right to be upset?
That's next. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 the game.
Arnie's done national radio and lived all over the country. But this is the best show he's ever been a part of.
Oh, yes.
It's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Alex in Moncton said, Brady must screen the calls. I call on every damn one of those qualifiers and never get through. Payback for disagreeing with your bad takes, huh, big boy?
Yes, because we predict and know that it's you on the other end of the line.
We don't have caller ID. We don't say, no, not that one, Brady, not that one. That's Alex in Moncton.
Whatever you do, don't pick up line one. It's Alex in Moncton.
No, that's Rams fan Ralph. No, not that one.
Look, you can disagree with my takes all you want, but I am not prohibiting you from winning the qualifiers.
I will
say,
no, this is strictly on the up and up, but I will say this. One time I worked for a music station in Los Angeles, and they were giving away trips to Hawaii, and they had like 8 names in the hat. And they were drawing out 2 or 3 of them for the trips. And the guy, he picked the GM comes and picks up a name. And it's a girl that always wins. And took the name and threw it right back in there and took another name. I'm like, holy cow, man, what are you doing? You can't do that. I was cracking up.
I'll never forget back in the early days when this station was called Champ 101.3 at this frequency. We gave away a car. And you go through all of the keys. We had 40 qualifiers, and one of the keys out of the 40 was going to be the right one.
Yeah.
We got to the 40th person trying the key. Didn't work.
Oh, get out of here.
Right there in the parking lot of the radio station.
What happened?
And I'm
then?
Hosting the whole thing.
What happened?
Well, after a lot of sweat, we admitted what had happened. There was nothing else you could do. They're all standing there waiting.
Oh, how funny.
Oh, it was a nightmare.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah,
so none of the 40 keys worked?
No. And then an hour later, we finally found the one that was right. And we tried it over and over and over again in the car. It kept starting it, and eventually somebody got it. But we were there for 4 hours. It was a nightmare.
It's called humor, fellas. Yeah, I know.
It was funny.
We're just taking a little shot back at you, girl. Everybody take a deep breath. You know,
people are crabby today.
They are. Is it because it's Monday, or is everyone got a football hangover? What's going on?
Is this the first time listening to the show? Are we new? First time in 3 years? Over 3 years, you're listening to the show?
You're right. We got a lot of cranky people today on the text line. And Alex in Moncton, he's the most bland of all of them.
He's the, bologna sandwich, no mustard, white bread, crust cut off?
Did anybody have a nice weekend that they can share with us?
Just you, Rich. You're the only one in love.
I loved every minute of my
weekend.
Yeah,
you're the only one in love, I guess. Everybody else had a terrible weekend.
So are you saying you're not in love?
I'm in love, but I didn't do anything this weekend. I just sat around doing nothing. I just did radio.
Well, it's nice. Well, Rich was at the Bloody Mary contest at the fairgrounds. I was at the burger bar. We were all working, and Arnie was sitting watching college football.
Yeah.
Can one of you call my boss and get me out of work? Yeah, I could do that for you. I could swing that for you later.
Who's
on.
That?
I don't know. Somebody on the Town for a Tire text line.
Okay.
I could do that for you. Not a problem. I should charge a business. I will call your boss and get you out of work. I'd be great at that. All right, Brady, let's get to the mistake of the day.
Mistake of the day, 802-655-6672. Thanks to Joann's Uniforms Embroidery Works. Joann's Uniforms in Colchester now carrying a full line of tactical apparel and gear for EMS workers. Great quality and selection at 20% off every single day. So first off, we've got some breaking news that will kind of lead us into our current conversation.
Yes. I love when you do that.
I kind of like it where it does. Do that again. And then it kind of doesn't have to kind of fade out.
This just in.
Golden Tate. Sterling Shepard of the Giants. He's in the concussion protocol again now. Did not play the last drive yesterday for the Giants against the Vikings. Now expected to be out, quote, a while. So that's
just in time for the Patriots game.
Yes. So that's a big loss for the Giants as they head into England. That kind of gives us a segue into our next conversation. Golden Tate, new Giants receiver, who yesterday played his first game with the Giants. He only had 3 catches for 13 yards. He had 6 targets, 13 yards. After the game, when was asked, did you like how you were used in your first game as a Giant, or do you want to be used like this moving forward? He said, quote, I hope not. Obviously, I want to be out there as much as possible, but we'll see. It's the first week back for me. I hope my role increases, but we'll see. Tate only played in 46 of 69 offensive snaps. Look, I'll just start here before I turn it over to Arnie, the Giants fan on this, but yeah. And I'm asking the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, does Golden Tate have a right to be this upset or a right to be vocal about it? And I think both those answers are different answers. One, I would not have said it publicly if I were Tate. Like, dude, you were just suspended. You were just out for 4 weeks. Ease your way back in before you start throwing haymakers. And by the way, the team went 2-2 without you. Mm-hmm. So you playing 69 of 69 offensive snaps might not be the difference between the team winning and losing. They just won 2 games without you. That said, I would be annoyed if I were Golden Tate. They brought you in here to replace Odell Beckham Jr. Now, maybe you're not as good as OBJ, but you're being paid highly, and you are the guy who's supposed to be the top target for the quarterback, whether it's Eli Manning or Daniel Jones. And with Saquon Barkley out, you should have been the guy that they were featuring in the offense, and to have one catch early in the game and 2 more in garbage time doesn't feel like enough.
Yeah, Has he always been a slot guy with the Giants?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, because it just seemed like they could have used him differently, made that catch to start the game, and then nothing till the fourth quarter. But look, I agree with you, Brady, in the sense that you can't start whining in the locker room after being suspended for 4 games and they've given you this massive contract. Shut up and play.
Yeah, I know they asked him the question. I agree with you. Shut up and play. Though they did target him 6 times. How many do you want to be targeted? 10? 15? I mean, it's not going to reach that high. 10? You're lucky if you get 10 targets and then plus some. But you are targeted 6 times. Sure, we want to see you get the ball more, but not your first game back. Pipe down, would you please?
Exactly.
And you know, if somebody asks you that, you just go, "Hey, it's my first game back. Let's get everybody on the same page before we start worrying about getting me the ball. I just want to help the team win." Don't be such a knucklehead. I don't like that he said that. He's more of a veteran to say something like that.
Yeah, and a veteran who put his coach kind of behind the eight ball a little bit, because that at the press conference post game ended up immediately becoming the topic for Pat Shurmur to have to deal with. And he's a veteran presence. He gets there in battle, you know, in battle. And he's tough, and I understand, and I like that he cares so much, but it's forcing your coach to answer a bunch of questions you shouldn't have to answer.
I think it's the right sentiment, but the wrong timing and the wrong form. You do have to understand the temperature of the room a little bit if you're Golden Tate and know that you put the team in a bad position by getting suspended. Whether we think the suspension was legitimate or not, whether we think he should have been suspended for a fertility drug or not, bottom line, you were suspended. And the best ability in the NFL is often availability, and he was not available to the New York Giants for 4 weeks. That said, I do believe he has a right. If he's only playing in 2/3 of the offensive snaps, how many other teams that are their highest paid offensive player, their highest paid receiver, are only playing in 2/3 of the offensive plays? That would be none.
It's his first game back, though. Let's see what he does for the next couple games. If this was game one, you're not going to judge everybody on game one. I mean, it's a feeling out process for him.
He was featured more in the preseason than he was in this game.
Well, I'll see what they do, Thursday, right? So we'll see what they do on Thursday, but I'm sure he'll get more targets. Look, he was targeted 6 times. You'll get up to 10 and move up from there.
Yeah, I mean, you take Sterling Shepard out of the offense now for Thursday's game, and guess who they're throwing to?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Tate doesn't need to mouth off now because he's going to get multiple targets on Thursday.
Alex said he had a week with Jones, needs to build some timing. And Tom and Jefferson said, you and me, Rich, we had awesome weekends, awesome Mondays.
So there we go.
Somebody had a good weekend.
Good.
So there you go.
We asked Austin Gale of Pro Football Focus what he thought of the way Tate was used. And he said, all right, I don't have to cut here. Oh, yes, yeah. Here he goes. He talked about, what do we think about the way Golden Tate was used yesterday?
I would say they're using him correctly. I think the biggest thing he wants is just more targets. I think more targets and maybe some more targets downfield. They know he's a great receiver after the catch. Wanting to get him involved on a low average of the target on shallow stuff makes a ton of sense because he can do so much with the ball in his hands. But I'm sure as a receiver, he knows he's good after the catch, but he likes to win downfield. I think the Giants could benefit from pushing him downfield. I mean, six targets for 13 yards is pretty abysmal and a sign that you're trying to get him involved, you know, close to the line of scrimmage. But then you have to look back at Daniel Jones. This is a guy that gets comfortable throwing fewer than 10-plus yards down the field. I think you don't want to, you know, get him out of his zone either. I think Golden Tate would benefit from a more vertical route tree, but I understand where the Giants are coming from trying to get Daniel Jones to throw him close to the line of scrimmage.
I understand what the Giants are doing, too, there, by the way. Remember, you don't have Saquon Barkley, and Wayne Gallman left that game, you know, five plays into the offensive series for the New York Giants with a concussion and did not return. They're playing with a third-string running back and a fullback, so they need to do anything they can to try to get, basically, utilize the passing game as a short running game. I get what they're trying to do by getting Golden Tate the ball, get it to him early, get it to him close to the line of scrimmage, and let him make plays. I don't agree if Tate truly does want to be a downfield threat. I've never thought of Golden Tate as a downfield threat. He's always played in the slot, and he's always been elite at it. Get it to him on the bubble screens, get it to him on quick slants, get it to him on a run-pass option where he can get the ball and run in space. So I get why he's upset at not playing as much, but the way he's being utilized, I agree with Austin Gale that getting the ball to him as quick as possible is in the best interest of the Giants.
I'm kind of shocked that there hasn't been more criticism of Daniel Jones, especially with the way people pumped him up after the first two games. Now that he didn't have a very good game, I'm surprised people are kind of piling on him. And, of course, it's early, but I thought there'd be more people critical.
Well, I mean, the Washington game was against an awful defense, but yesterday wasn't really. I mean, he's starting to play some real good teams now, and it's certainly not going to get any easier against that Patriots secondary. You're going to really see him this Thursday.
One minor note there, one correction. Golden Tate, the second highest paid receiver on the Giants. Sterling Shepard, with his new contract that he got this year, now makes $4 million more total.
Did somebody hammer you on the text line because you got that wrong?
No, I actually was. When I said that Tate was the top paid receiver, I started thinking, well, Shepard did get a new contract, so let me check and verify this. So, no, the trolls out there, I'm implicating myself on that one.
Wow.
Sterling Shepard, 4 years, $41 million. Golden Tate, 4 years, $37 million.
Henry from Fletcher, Tate needs to shut up and play.
Yes.
Plus, the team is dealing with a new quarterback and a rookie at that. If he was playing with someone who, like Eli, I would have more sympathy. Plus, they didn't have Saquon Barkley, so, you know, you could go ahead and tee off, come blitzing. You didn't have to worry about a running game if you're the Minnesota Vikings. You knew they had no running game, especially when Gallman went down too. But go ahead, let a rookie quarterback beat me through the air. And that wasn't going to happen. No way, no how, Brady, was that ever going to happen.
And if you talk about the Patriots always being the beneficiary of a good schedule, well, they might also be the beneficiary of some good circumstances. Shepard not likely to play. Barkley would have been, quote, limited in practice if the team had practiced today. Evan Engram would not have practiced. He would have been out with a knee injury. So if you start taking out Sterling Shepard, potentially Evan Engram, and Saquon Barkley being some way limited going into Thursday night, either limited or not playing, that would be bad news for Daniel Jones.
Well, that being said, I never trust the Giants when they play the Patriots because there's a certain history of, you know, the Super Bowl games that gets me a little queasy when they have to play the Giants. So I don't know. I think the Giants are going to hang a lot closer this Thursday than a lot of people are expecting them to.
Not without Shepard, Engram, and maybe Barkley.
But it's just the Giants. They always play the Pats tough, and they beat them. I'm not saying they're going to beat them, but
again,
we'll
that's what you do. If you're in Vegas, you go ahead and bet the Giants to win because of the money. The money line. Newsflash from a first-time texter, Golden Tate, you're well-paid. Just let your team down by being suspended. Show a little humility. That's
Bingo. Totally
right. Bingo on that one. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, I heard Jeff Paul say something on Saturday we have to react to. He's got DJ LeMahieu of the Yankees as the MVP of Major League Baseball. Are we buying that?
That's next. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 the game.
He's been here forever.
Any day above ground, my friend, is a beautiful day.
There you go.
He's one of you.
You are kind of a hippie, aren't you?
Yeah, I go to hippie bands all the time.
Back in the day, you were kind of a hippie.
Yeah. Oh, I'll show you some pictures of the hair.
It's Rich Haskell on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 the game. Time for a tire text. I get a lot of texts today, even from the crabby people.
Not all of them nice.
No, 802-655. 6672 802 655 6672. Usually we get bad ones about Rich, so
right.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. So we always
that's
get
the ones I don't read.
Yeah, that's the ones we bypass on that. All right, you heard Jeff Paul this Saturday and getting a little MVP on baseball, Brady.
Yeah, 802-655-6672. Yankees leading the Twins 2-0. ALDS tonight. We've got it for you over on WVMT, Luis Severino on the mound. But I was listening to Sports Saturday earlier this weekend with Jeff Paul, and he said he's got DJ LeMahieu of the Yankees being his MVP. Mm-hmm. Look, I like Jeff. I know him to be a smart guy. He's good radio. I enjoy his show. I could not disagree more with this take in thinking that DJ LeMahieu was the most valuable player in the American League. I mean, look, he had a great year. Don't get me wrong. I'm not disparaging DJ LeMahieu. 26 homers, 102 RBIs, hit .327. He's had a great year, and he's been one of the relative constants of a patchwork Yankees lineup all year. He's incredibly valuable. But to say he's the most valuable player in the American League, could not disagree more.
Okay, but if you use the word valuable, this is an age-old argument, and I hate to even open up this can of worms. But
no, it's the right way to handle it.
If you want to use the word valuable, and seriously valuable, in the term most valuable player, DJ LeMahieu has to be in the conversation. I mean, that entire team fell apart around him for weeks on end. And he was the one constant, and he put up the numbers.
It's the numbers. That's how you get MVP. And I was told you, I said that Devers should have been getting more consideration than you guys wanted to give him. He finished in the top five in batting average. He finished in the top four in runs batted in. So I don't know where he finished up in home runs. I think he finished out the top five, but that to me should have gotten, I would give it to him over LeMahieu in that one.
But I mean, if you look at valuable, look at that word. Trout, how much value did he have to the Angels?
Trout was the most valuable player in baseball by judge of the wins above replacement.
Right. Oh, no question. But I'm just saying, well, and isn't war a product to a point of a bad team?
No.
In no way.
No.
Because I'm thinking, if you're having somebody replace you on a bad team, that's probably a bad player.
No, it's just a league average. It's your how much better you are than an average league player.
Okay, but so let's look at some of the candidates. Trout, what did he do? Nothing. He had a great year again. And his Angels stink again.
Yeah, but see, I don't believe in the fact. You're right. It comes down to this question:
valuable.
Do you consider it to be valuable or best?
Okay? I mean, without Trout, they lose 10 more games. They lose 100 games instead of 90. I don't know what the Angels
look.
Lost,
DJ LeMahieu, he's not a better player than Mike Trout.
Oh, no question. But is he more valuable? That team absolutely would have been in some trouble.
Okay,
I think
DJ LeMahieu had a million better players around him than Mike Trout did. If we're going to play
that game. Not really. It was pretty much a minor league team for half the summer. See, that's my point.
It's most home run hitting team in baseball history.
I understand. Yeah, but it was a lot of it is Urshela and Tauchman and all these guys, all these minor league guys that came up and shined.
I'm going to shut down the argument that you have and the Jeff Paul have right now. No matter how you slice this, DJ LeMahieu cannot win this award. If you want to just go on pure stats and the core stats that Arnie likes to go on, he doesn't beat Alex Bregman in that regard.
No.
Bregman's got 40 home runs, got over 100 RBIs. He's on a great team. He's on a team that had the number one record in the American League that had home field advantage. Alex Bregman dwarfs DJ LeMahieu if you want to go on the base on the stat category. If you want to take Trout out of it because you say that he didn't play enough games and he was injured and he missed the end of the season on the injured list, okay. Well, LeMahieu was on the injured list too, played 145 games. Marcus Semien of the A's, 33 homers, 100 RBIs, played in all 162. He was better than DJ LeMahieu. LeMahieu was 15th in the league in wins above replacement. If you want to do traditional stats, he doesn't hack it. If you want to do analytic stats, he doesn't hack it. If you want to do fan graphs, metrics, he doesn't hack it. He didn't do it by durability. He was a great player for the Yankees. The Yankees would not be in the situation they're in without him. But to win the MVP award, no, he's going to have to do something more.
Who's the MVP? See, I think it's Alex Bregman. I'm not saying I'm giving it to LeMahieu, but I'm certainly putting him a lot higher up than most people
are.
Sure,
he can be in the top 10 for all I care, but I'm going to
go higher than that.
I'm going to join him with Bogarts. I'm going to join him with Devers. I'm going to join him with Semien. I'm going to join him with J.D. Martinez. I'm going to join him with Trout, with Bregman, with Matt Chapman.
Brantley.
With Justin Verlander. Garrett Cole. I'm going to put all those people in the conversation if we're going to do that.
Top for tire text line 802-655-6672. Rich, look me in the eye and look into the camera.
You are ugly.
As I tell you that the Mets are the front runner for Mookie Betts.
Wow, Betts to Mets. I can see the headline in the Daily News.
And Taichi out there right now, Philadelphia and the New York Mets are right now the rumor that says here, Major League Baseball rumors, Red Sox Mookie Betts to the Mets or Phillies.
Okay, so we'll start with Syndergaard.
No, you get nothing like that, big boy. You're getting squat.
We'll take Syndergaard and DeGrom.
You're getting squat. How about that, Brady? If I get Mookie Betts with my New York Mets, Can you imagine? Just pencil us in for the World Series.
So what are we getting?
Now?
Getting a couple of Brooklyn Cyclones in return for Mookie Betts?
A dozen baseballs.
I think not. Good luck with that.
And who's got that, considering I don't see that on MLB trade rumors, which is the foremost thought on everything.
I have this story here. It says here, while the Red Sox searching for new executive change is coming in Boston, among the objectives for the person taking over the most coveted job, blah, 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 it says as Betts approaches a contract year and final season, so where could Betts be landing? MLB trade rumors laid out possible candidates for a trade with the Mets and the Phillies on the list. They're the top two. Here's the site and what both teams would offer, and they have a link to that. So
okay, I'd love to know what they're going to offer.
You get nothing. You get nothing.
It better be pitching.
Tell me, you see, now why is it okay for you to trade him to the Mets, but you wouldn't trade him to the Yankees?
Well, hello.
I understand that in the same division, but if you're going to get a lot more back from the Yankees than you would from the Mets, is that what you want, really?
That's a good point. That's where you have to kind of lose the balance, and you have to really walk a fine line here. If you're going to trade Mookie Betts and get a lot more back from the Yankees, that's a tough call.
Yeah, Brady, I know you don't want to do it, but... it's all about what you get back.
No, I would do it if I had to, but I don't think the return for Mookie Betts is going to be as great as you think it is.
No, Buster already warned us about that.
I mean,
yeah.
You've got a one-year deal. Betts has shown no interest in signing a long-term contract, so you're going to assume he's going to go somewhere else, continue to say that same thing and want to hit free agency. So who am I giving up?
Right.
I mean, look, Aroldis Chapman netted for one half season for the Cubs, netted Gleyber Torres, okay? If I can get one impact prospect, I'd have to be pretty happy with that. I don't think the idea that you're getting a team's 1, 2, and 3 prospects, I don't think are realistic.
No,
you might get one top prospect and a couple of possibles.
That's a good move for either the Mets or the Phillies, whoever gets them for 1 year. I don't even know where Mookie wants to go after this. I really don't. I'm not even getting any inclination on where he wants to end up.
He's a Nashville guy, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't mean he wants to end up there.
Since there's no team.
The Braves have always felt like a logical team for me. It is close geographically. You pair Betts with Acuna, you are talking about one of the best outfields in all of baseball. I don't know what the Braves are going to do in this series ultimately against the Cardinals. Right. They're up 2-1 going into today, but they could be, quote, one piece away. And if you are one piece away, maybe, and the Braves have one of the best farm systems in baseball, would I trade away one of my blue chip prospects for one piece away in the National League? That, if I were the Atlanta Braves, I would strongly consider.
Oh, now it's official. NewJersey.com has come out with their rumor.
It must be true.
I love it. Rich, this Thursday, you're going to be down at RJ's, and it is a big game. It's going to be a lot of fun. That place absolutely going to be packed. Huh?
Pats Giants.
You think so, huh?
Bring your earplugs. It's going to be a wild Thursday night. We'll get there around 8 o'clock, set up shop, and start giving stuff away at Reuben James, right next to the Flynn in downtown Burlington. We're going to have that Shiner Bock beer special again. Everybody drank about 100 of them last time we were down there a couple weeks ago. That's on special. Shiner Bock beer for $3. They're going to have half-price burgers, free wings from 10 till midnight, basically the second half. And we're also, while you're there this Thursday, going to qualify you to win some Patriots tickets. Pats Giants downtown. It's going to be nuts.
2 hours are in the books. Power Hour coming up next. Brady will tell you what's trending, then we'll get you ready for the Power Hour. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Go, boys. Get it down there and score.
The Huddle. When you take over a team, sometimes you want to make your mark.
Finally got a scoop after all the years of doing this show.
Not extending a 42-year-old quarterback probably is the best.
The Huddle. Break. Weekdays from 3 to 6 on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. It is the Power Hour of the show as we start getting in a whole bunch of texts from 2017, 2018 right now for some other reason. I don't know why that's going on. The only reason I bring that up is because I wanted to get to a text I wanted to read praising Brady, and I can't stop my Top Fair Tire text on. Are you watching this or what?
Anthony in Essex says, read DJ LeMahieu. Well said, Brady. Impressive use and command of stats. Arnie, take notes, please. Rich, you have great looks. Spot on. Spot on.
Wow.
No, I think
good? Is that what he said?
I think he was talking about my looks. He said right on, spot on about Arnie's looks.
Somebody's been day-drinking.
He's saying that Arnie's ugly.
Is that what he's saying?
Basically.
Wow.
And then somebody says, Just saw your 101.3 The Game van pass me on the road. Where are you guys going? We're going
Who's
nowhere.
Who's driving that car?
The salespeople are stealing our stuff, I guess. They're stealing
Who
our
car. Who has the car?
At least
which salesperson has the car?
I don't know.
I want to know. I want to know who's got the 101
stuff
car.
Stuff drives him nuts. It's so meaningless. Who cares who's driving?
Because my wallet's in that thing. How about that? I want to who's got the car? Why, by the way, why can you take the car and not, shouldn't we know who's driving the 101.3 car? Isn't that important?
I don't know. Rich had the keys last, so I don't know where he put them and gave access to other people. So Rich had the keys last.
And are they really driving?
Actually, no, I take that back. It was sales guy Jeff.
Yeah, I put them right here.
And are they really driving to an appointment, or are they just going and taking it for their own use?
Well, it's 5 o'clock, so would they really have an appointment at 5
yeah,
o'clock?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Who's got the 101 car? I'm going to start texting people.
Why do you call it the 101 car? It's the 101.3 car.
Yeah.
Well. And it's a van.
I only use it out of emergencies. I don't know. It's a Monday. Are we going any place today? No, we're not any place.
A few nights we aren't.
We're at a lot of places this week. Yes, Wednesday trivia, Thursday RJs. We got all kinds of things going on.
I can't believe you don't know who has the cars. For all you know, that somebody, a listener just came in and took it.
Why? I don't know.
Take it.
Wherever Jeff the sales guy put the keys, somebody came and took it. Likely a salesperson.
Wow. Scott in Plattsburgh says, tell Arnie that I wasn't scared of him. This is at the Valcor broadcast on Friday. He says, I was just shocked by his loud voice when he snuck up from behind me.
Who's that? Oh, Scott in Plattsburgh?
Scott in Plattsburgh.
Yeah, he was very intimidated by me. It was
How could
just
anyone
like,
be intimidated by
like,
you?
I'm like, hey, how you doing? He's like,
How'd you like talk? Jason in Plattsburgh, since we're continuing yes. with the theme of being confronted.
Yes.
How about Jason in Plattsburgh, who finally showed his face to me over in Plattsburgh the other day on Friday, and then he just didn't have a whole lot to say?
Yeah, I thought he was going to attack you. He doesn't like you, but he didn't say much at all to you, to be honest. He was like in shock.
It's sort of like Arnie when he's out in public. You think he's just going to be this loudmouth lout, and he doesn't say anything to anybody. You for a guy who talks as much as you do, you have no social skills.
Wow. Why do you say that? I got all time.
You're very quiet. The people
skills.
At the poorhouse are still disappointed in your appearance about a year and a half ago, and you just sat there and just ignored everyone.
That's a long time ago. Maybe I was having a bad day or something, huh?
You're not allowed to have bad days in radio.
Maybe you had a car problem like you have every day
exactly.
of your life.
Maybe I just didn't feel like talking after doing a three-hour show, and I just wanted to relax and have a cold beverage. How about something like that?
Nick, the sales guy, ruined all his tires. He was driving his tires around maybe it's him who has our van.
Yes.
Because he was driving around bald tires, even worse than Rich does, and his tires were driven so poor, like he drove them so much with no tread on them that he ruined the alignment on his tires, and the whole thing is just like rickety now.
Brady, you need a shave.
Where does it say? Yeah, it says Bill in Plattsburgh.
Wow. Must be watching us on Twitch.
Brady, you need a shave, but Arnie's spot on with your looks.
Spot on with your looks? What does that mean?
It means I'm very good looking.
Is that a compliment, or is he saying you're
hideous?
I'll
take it as a compliment.
He said, Arnie, you're spot on with your looks, but maybe I had too many buy one, get one free beers.
Oh, is that what BOGO stands for?
Yeah, I didn't know what. I'm like, oh, he had a BOGO beer, whatever the hell that means.
Buy it was one a brand.
BOGO. Buy one, get one.
By the way, I have a great Matt and Sadie Albin sports talk question mark. We'll get to it. Relax. Great last story standing, Brady, that has a major impact on your life. I'm not kidding around.
A major impact?
Major impact on your life. And I told you what the story was. Don't repeat it.
I've already forgotten, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't make a difference. Yeah. Whatever.
My whole life is like the 51st Dates movie.
There you go. All right, Brady, Toby, we're live on Twitch, and let's get at it.
We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/1013TheGame. Give us a look there. We are video streaming all 3 hours of the show. You can share the link anywhere you want, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whichever one you use. You can also find us by following our stream, so twitch.tv/1013TheGame, and you'll get a notification every time we go live. Update on our picks for the weekend. Station
it was
picks.
Horrible.
Yeah, Arnie went 1-2, and now you're 4-11 overall.
Yes.
And you're in
4-11.
You're deep in the last place. Currently,
you've been mathematically eliminated. We're not even halfway to the
it's
through
insane.
The season
yet. It's crazy.
No, it isn't.
I am 10-5. Rich 8-7. Nick the sales guy 7-7, and he has the Browns tonight. And you are 4-11.
4-11.
I may be too far back to make up all that distance.
Yeah, that's a lot of 3-0
but
weeks.
But I don't have to get the first. I just have to get out of last place.
Yeah, so all you need to do is get out of last.
But which is Rich. Nick, the sales guy, really doesn't count. I just want to beat him. So I'm 4 behind Rich.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Not really.
You're going to need a lot of 3-0s.
But that's just one of your bad weeks.
I know what's going to happen here is that, Rich, you're going to be so deeply in like with your new girlfriend that your station picks are now not even going to matter to you, and you're always going to start picking at like 2:59 on Friday.
Right. But he does that anyway, though.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes.
But I felt pretty good about that Giants-Minnesota under. That just didn't seem like a 34-27 kind of game to me.
Yeah, because you're so great on football, that's why.
Yes.
That's why. Mike says Arnie should clean himself up and go as a homeless guy for Halloween. Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate that.
Clean himself up and go as a homeless guy.
Arnie needs Bernie's football insights. Yes, Bernie Fratto, my Vegas insider. Maybe I should just take the picks from him.
Yeah.
Start using some of my...
your Fox connections?
Yes, something like that.
And Collins Blazing 5.
Yes. By the way, that text was from Vince. Just want to thank him. We had a great time over at the fairgrounds on Saturday for the New England Hemophilia Association. A couple hundred people out gulping down Bloody Marys, and everybody had a good old time.
Well, at least Vince likes us, though. How about everybody else may hate us, but at least Vince likes us, which is crazy. All right, Brady, let's get to some football.
Yeah, let's get to... So we do kind of our six-pack of questions and categories on Friday. Let's do it again here today. How about this? We'll kind of whip around the league. The team that impressed you the most, Arnie, was who in Week 5?
Well, we're probably all going to have the same one on this. I mean, the Green Bay Packers, what they did down in Dallas, and especially get out to the 31-3 lead and... They just said, hey, we're flexing our muscles, especially their offense was not looking so good, and Aaron Rodgers was feeling a little bit of a heat. Cowboys came off that terrible loss to the Saints also, so I expected a lot more out of them, and they just laid an egg right out of the gate. You saw the frustration from Jason Garrett, but that goes to the Green Bay Packers. They were extremely impressive, and now 4-1 and maybe the best team in the NFL.
I was sure you guys were going to go with the Indianapolis Colts. Did you see that running attack? I mean, I understand the Kansas City defense was very banged up. They lost most of their linebackers and a couple guys on the line yesterday, but I mean, Indianapolis, I think they had four drives of 11 plays or more. They absolutely did whatever they wanted to do in that game last night, and telling you, I'm impressed with the Colts. They lose Luck for the, you know, obviously to retirement, and you figure they're a 500 team, but they're going somewhere with that defense.
I'm going to go with the Packers also. I don't like to have the same one as Arnie. I don't like for all of us, any of us, to have the same one, but I have to go with the Packers as well. What they did, Aaron Jones, four rushing touchdowns. They get out to a big lead early. They do it on the road against a team that we also think is playoff caliber. Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur starting to answer some of the questions people have had about their offense. They come back from an embarrassing defeat at home against the Eagles last Thursday. They take advantage of the extra couple of days to prepare. The Colts were close. The Broncos getting their first win was up there for me also. None of them were as impressive as the Packers. And that defense, at least for the first half, looked really, really good. Question two, how about the team that disappointed you the most?
This I find kind of easy. I was going to say the Chicago Bears. I mean, I thought they were going to roll the Raiders. They should be ashamed. They got down 17-0. They had to come back and put up three touchdowns in the third just to go up 21-17. They're wasting this great defense that they've got. Now, I know Trubisky's out, but people were like, oh, Chase Daniels, there's no letdown here. And he was okay 22-30, but no, he isn't running the offense as well as Trubisky is. They're disappointing. Right now, they're sitting at 3-2, and this was a team I thought that, hey, you know, with the way they look defensively, man, there's no better defense than the Chicago Bears, and they're just wasting the season.
Man, I'm going Chargers. That was awful. How, if you told me the Chargers were going to be 2-3 right now, and they have Melvin Gordon back, he comes back and does nothing. I think he had 31 yards and 12 carries or something. He made no difference, and they lost. And that was at home, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That game was in L.A., to the hideous Denver Broncos, who hadn't won a game at all, and they were up 17-0 into the third quarter, and I was shocked by that. The Chargers are in some doo-doo right now at 2-3.
Look, they won, but the team that disappointed me most was the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens, a team that their defense was good early, but it was against who? It was against Miami, and it was against Arizona. Then they go out, and they look awful against Cleveland. They get exposed last week. The defense hadn't been as good. They've given up a ton of yards in the last 2 weeks of play here. Lamar Jackson had come back down to earth. They beat the Steelers, but they beat the Steelers in their second-string quarterback in Mason Rudolph, and then their third-string quarterback, some guy off the street out of Samford, Devlin Hodges. Okay, they needed a late-game heroic kick from Justin Tucker just to send it to overtime and then to win it in overtime. The Baltimore Ravens, for a team that we thought could win the division, they need to be a whole heck of a lot better than that. Even in a win, the Ravens aren't inspiring much confidence right now. How about number three? The team that gained the most out of Week 5.
Nobody circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills. They could have easily faltered. They were on the road. The weather was bad. They had come off a loss against the Patriots. They were 3-0, and all of a sudden now they find themselves 3-1, and they're like, okay, we're playing the Titans, who their season was on the line there. They were 2-2. Marcus Mariota, I'm done with you. You need to go ahead and go somewhere else if I'm a Titan fan. But Buffalo wins the game on the road. They do it defensively. They go to 4-1. Now, all of a sudden, not only are they a team to be reckoned with, they're going to be a wild card team. That was a big win for the Buffalo Bills. That was humongous.
I'm going with the Green Bay Packers. I mean, beating the Cowboys in Jerry's house by 10 points. Their defense was outstanding. Aaron Jones had an unbelievable game on the offensive side of the ball. All of a sudden now, when Devontae Adams is out with an injury with turf toe, and you're thinking, well, that's going to be a problem for Aaron Rodgers. They didn't need Aaron Rodgers to be great yesterday. Aaron Jones was outstanding. The Packers defense swarming the quarterback. There was nowhere for Dak to go the whole night, and that was a huge step on the road for the Green Bay Packers.
Seeing the game the most was the Oakland Raiders, a team that we didn't think at anything of heading into the season. People were wondering already, is Jon Gruden not capable of being an NFL coach? Arnie wanted Derek Carr to get traded. The team's moving to Vegas. Yep. They got a lame duck franchise. They go across the pond. They go 3,000 miles away. I don't even know, 5,000 miles away? However the hell far London is from Oakland. They go out, they go to London, they beat a great defense on the road. Jon Gruden's got some energy, he's got some excitement to that franchise again. And the team here, all of a sudden, they've got a gem of a running back in Jacobs here. This team played well yesterday, they've continued to play well all season. So now they've beaten the Colts and the Bears in back-to-back weekends. Oakland Raiders deserved our credit, they gained the most yesterday as well. And for an AFC that's not very good, for an AFC that has a lot of imbalance to it, you're sitting here thinking that maybe the Raiders all of a sudden, not the Chargers, is the second best team in the AFC West. Question four, flip it around the other way. The team that lost the most yesterday was who?
That was the Chargers. I mean, here you go. You're 2-2. You're playing the Broncos. They don't have a win. This is a gimme. This is like a bye week. This is like, okay, we'll get the victory. We'll move on from here. And now you've just maybe go ahead and cost you the season. This was a horrible loss. Shame on them for losing this one.
I'm going with the Bears. That great defense. I mean, they still had one foot on the plane in that first half yesterday. They got themselves, what was it? I think it was 17-0 in the blink of an eye. It's like, wait a minute, the Bears? This is what's happening? The Raiders tried to implode. They blew the lead, and then they came back and won the game, but the Bears looked absolutely jet-lagged for the first 30 minutes of that game. I'm going Chicago.
The team that lost the most is the Tennessee Titans, and there's really nothing anyone could say to convince me of otherwise. Mariota now being questioned again. Mike Vrabel being questioned again. You should have heard Clay this morning just going to town on the Titans, and now he's done with them. Okay, they've got their offensive lineman, Taylor Lewan, calling out Buffalo Bills players after the game. They missed four field goals yesterday from Cairo Santos and have now released him and signed Cody Parkey. The AFC South was up for grabs. Every team yesterday going into the game was 2-2. And here you have the Jaguars lost, but the Titans won, the Colts won. You failed to keep pace. You've already lost to the Colts and Jacoby Brissett. Now you're down two games in the division, essentially, to them. The Tennessee Titans made the playoffs a couple years ago, were on the precipice of the playoffs last year, and they may miss the playoffs entirely again this year. And that would be bad for both Mariota and Vrabel and GM John Robinson. The Titans had a lot to gain and everything to lose yesterday, and it went the latter. All right, number five here. How about the team you want to see more of? The team that maybe you're starting to jump on the bandwagon?
Well, I just want to see more of that. Doesn't mean I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I read that question wrong. I want to see more of the Dallas Cowboys because I want to see what they're going to do next. Because one more loss, their season's done. One more win, then they get back on top.
3-3, their season will be done.
I think their season's going to be done. I don't think they'll go ahead and, well, I shouldn't say completely done, because they'll have Philadelphia and the Giants, and they'll be right there. That division is a mess. But I think they will be done because they got a hard schedule. Plus, when you lose three games in a row, the heat will be immense. I'm dying to see what they do the next game. I didn't think they were going to lose the second in a row. Jason Garrett's losing his marbles. You're saying who we want to see because they're on a roll. I want to see because they're a hot mess right now, and I want to see what's that. That's why I picked them, not because they're on a roll or I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I just want to see if they survive this, because if they do drop the 3-3, the Cowboy faithful are going to come with pitchforks and torches. I promise you that.
I'm going Seattle Seahawks. I mean, am I allowed to go at a Thursday game?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
That performance by Russell Wilson was unbelievable. He only completed 17 passes, but he had 270 yards or whatever and four touchdowns. Great passing game. The defense was decent against a high-powered offense. Chris Carson running the ball like crazy. That offense right now is pretty scary to me, especially if Wilson keeps running. As long as he can stay upright, I think this team can be an absolute contender.
As much as I am happy about this dynamic for the Seahawks, I hate the oddities of the NFL schedule that comes about at every, it feels like once a season. The Seahawks play on Thursday. They're going to get three extra days to prepare for next week. And they get the Browns, who get one less day to prepare on Monday Night Football. So the Seahawks get the Thursday night mini bye, and then we'll get the Browns on a short week, having to travel from the West Coast back to Cleveland. I don't like the way that looks for the NFL at all there. Seahawks will be at a big benefit. I don't know that they'll win, but they'll have a big advantage going in. The team I want to see more of is the Houston Texans, because every year I rail on Bill O'Brien, and every year I call them frauds, and every year I call them choke artists, and every year they live up to that hype. They either get bounced in the first round, or they have a multitude of bad losses throughout the entire, you know, throughout the entirety of the season. They had a horrible loss last week, and here they are this week putting up 53 points. Deshaun Watson was great. Will Fuller exploded yesterday as well. We already know DeAndre Hopkins is great. But the Texans, a team, look, I still don't buy them in the long term, but I do buy Deshaun Watson. And now at 3-2 in the AFC South with the division, you know, up for balance there with the Colts, I want to see more of the Houston Texans. Last one, the team you're totally done with. Don't ever mention this team to us again, Arnie, is who?
Wait, does that count the Dolphins, Redskins?
Sure.
Bengals.
It counts whoever you want.
I want to say the Jets then. J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 only because I thought that maybe they could make a wild card run. And now they're just putrid. Look, not all their fault. I know Sam Darnold and the injuries and blah, blah, blah. But they still play in a, you know, division where at least you could beat Miami. And if you get a stole one, it doesn't make a difference. I'm done with them. They're disgusting.
Yeah, you know who it is for me? And it's a lot of the same thing where a team with well, I guess the Jets don't have nearly the history that the Pittsburgh Steelers do. But yeah. I've said this 100 times in this show. I'll believe it when I see it, when the Pittsburgh Steelers are a last place team. But that loss to Baltimore at home yesterday. Look, Baltimore's a good team, obviously, but they've got to win at Heinz Field in a game like that. And they made it close, obviously, but coughed it up and lost in the overtime. And the Steelers, incredibly to me, despite the fact that they've let all their stars go and everyone else has gotten hurt, still, just saying the words Pittsburgh Steelers and 1-4 seems very foreign to me.
Well, luckily they're not in last place because of how bad the Bengals yes. are. But the Mason Rudolph injury, as a side note, was one of the more scary things that I've ever seen on a football field. We've seen injuries like that before, and they're always jarring every time that you do see them. Arnie, did you hear the rumor that the reason Mason Rudolph had to walk off the field yesterday is because the cart didn't work?
Yeah, there wasn't a rumor. Wow. They had to push the cart off the field because it wasn't started. They said that it wasn't either fully charged electrically or whatever. But no, then they came out, the truth was, you ready for this? Operator error.
Wow.
Whatever the hell that means.
How do you screw up a golf cart?
You just maybe didn't realize he didn't have it turned on when he was trying to leave or something. I don't know.
Because it seriously didn't look like Mason Rudolph should be walking off the field yesterday. He looked dazed. He looked confused. He looked like he was limping. It was a bad situation all the way around.
When he walked off, I said to myself, he's not going to play again this year. I'm not a doctor, but the way he was walking off and the way he was just... I'm just like, this guy should not get on the football field this year the rest of the season. He was just knocked unconscious and... It was bad. It was horrible. Yeah. It was very crazy because they surrounded him while he was on the field, and you couldn't tell if he was still knocked out or what. Mm-hmm. And you didn't know if he was... At what point, I thought maybe he stopped breathing, and they were rushing people out onto the field. So it got to be a very scary situation.
Well, the team I'm done with as we end this is the Atlanta Falcons. Do not talk to me about the Atlanta Falcons anymore, a team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, a team that was supposed to have a better defense this season. Dan Quinn's supposed to be a defensive guru. There is one of the architects of that Seahawks defense when they were really, really good. The offense with Ridley and with Julio Jones and with Matt Ryan and with Devonta Freeman, this offense is supposed to be a high-powered one. Now, they put up 32 points yesterday, but to allow 53 to the Houston Texans is unacceptable. They are 1-4. I am done with the Atlanta Falcons. Dan Quinn has the best odds to be the next coach fired, and if you keep playing like this, we're going to be heading down that road really, really quickly. High-priced quarterback, high-priced receiver, high-drafted receiver, another big free agent receiver from a few years ago in Mohamed Sanu. There might be no better 1-2-3 combination in the NFL at wide receiver than what the Atlanta Falcons have. Why they are 1-4 is beyond me. I'm done with the Atlanta Falcons.
And I guess Sanu on the trading block. There you go if you wanted a wide receiver. The Patriots can go ahead and get somebody like him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. I don't know what contract that
Edelman
is.
Edelman kept grabbing his, what's he hurt? Ribs?
Chest.
Yeah. I mean, he kept grabbing his chest yesterday every time he caught the ball, so who knows?
They're going to have to do something. I think they will have to get a wide receiver, whether it's trade or some other place. But
They'll have to fix that up before they get too deep into the season.
Well, we'll see. People are saying that this will be one of the more active trade deadline periods. At least that's what people are expecting.
What was the story we saw on Ben Watson? What was the latest on that, Brady? Did we give that story or what?
Yeah, Ben Watson not going to be with the Patriots. Released this year. Now, what happened was he was suspended, remember, 4 games for the PED violation that happened in the offseason while he thought he was retired. Served the 4 games. Could have played yesterday. Didn't travel with the team, and rather than activate him today by the 4 o'clock deadline, they are releasing Benjamin Watson. He put out a statement on social media saying that he's very disappointed, that he really was hoping to make this team and be a part of it, but thanked his family for the support, and that's it for him.
That is weird, but I'll tell you, they had 3 long connections to Lacoste and Izzo combined yesterday, their tight ends.
Right.
So maybe they saw that and said, maybe we don't need him as badly as we thought.
I think you guys are more shocked than I am, right? Are you guys completely like, I can't believe they did this, or?
I'm just surprised as we had talked about him being the key to the tight end position and maybe being a better blocker, and remember what they missed by not having Gronk there, and they can't run the football, so hey, let's bring in a veteran tight end, and hey, he's got a connection with Brady. It's surprising because all the ingredients were there for Benjamin Watson to be part of this team.
All right. Where are you going to be Thursday, Rich? Because it's going to be a big game, my friend. And you're going to be down at RJ's. Looking forward to it. I wish my brother was in town. I'd go ahead and bring him down there also, my friend.
Don't bring him down there. It's already going to be loud enough. Can you imagine your brother in that place with the mob scene that we're going to have?
I love
it. So, Patriots and Giants, what else do you need to know?
Yeah,
this place is
going
to be packed. It's an 8 o'clock start. We'll get down there.
We have a lot of Giant fans there in Jersey. And
Absolutely, yeah. They'll be there, and I'm sure they'll be right in my face about 2 particular Super Bowls. Obviously not the what have you done for me lately crowd, but they'll have permanent scoreboard on us, and I'm sure I'll be hearing from them. But the best thing about that is that we've got Shiner Bock beer on special for just $3. This is Thursday. They're going to have half-price burgers, free wings. Jay's going to put out the wings from 10 o'clock till midnight, and you're going to qualify to win Patriots tickets. So that's Thursday. All I can say is get there early.
Zach says, I can't believe the Patriots got to start the season with 5 bye weeks. I've been saying that all along. Brady, what's coming up next?
Monday Mirages.
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Woo.
101.3thegame.com. Yes, Matt from the Burger Bar brought some free food. None of us were told about it, though.
Right. I just happened to see it posted on a Facebook page.
I didn't even know that. Not one person in the building told us that there was free food out there.
I'm sure the salespeople knew about it, though.
Well, obviously, they knew about it because all of the... I can tell that there were at one point ribs out there, but there are no longer ribs there. And there was about 6 chicken wings, and we were left fending for the leftover nachos.
Whoever came here and took the 101.3 car is the one that ate the food, too. So whoever has that car... Yeah,
the plot thickens, baby.
Yeah, you see, this is what aggravates the hell out of me.
Everything aggravates the hell out of
you. You come in here, you take our car, and then you eat our food, and you bolt, and you don't say anything to us.
Woo!
Unbelievable.
And then you cause Arnie to miss the first 2 seconds of the segment because he was out there trying to just crumbs.
I would have eaten a lot more, too, if there was anything left. I would have been out there for the whole half hour.
Boy, I'm sure you would.
My face is on fire. Wow.
Those are mild wings, Rich, and there's like 4 of them, and they're cold by
now.
Those
might have been Ella Spectros.
Oh, stop it. What is it?
You really can't finish.
There's something wrong with you.
You really can't afford to finish last in the station picks.
Well, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Thank you, Arnie.
Well, we could always negotiate you guys out of the 5,000-meter row and let you eat the hot wings.
Yeah, I'll do that and just try to catch up just to see Rich eat that. Because the hot wings don't bother me like Rich does.
I want to see my face melt.
You were at Buffalo Wild Wings. When we went to Buffalo Wild Wings together a couple weeks ago.
I was sweating like nuts.
You were sweating. And I don't even know how hot it was.
The chicken sandwich was very hot.
Yeah, you looked like you just spent about 3 hours in Orange Theory.
I was, going sweating up a nice one there eating the chicken sandwich. So, I was going to go back out there and eat some more wings. But, you know, again, nobody tells us anything. Nobody lets us know what's going on. The salespeople just come in here, eat the food, and they leave. They don't tell us squat. This is, now you know why I got a problem with salespeople now. Now you know why.
I don't know why we got food, but luckily I ate my fair share of Burger Bar food yesterday at our event watching the Patriots game. I ended up with ribs, a Philly cheesesteak, and some cheese fries.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was good. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And I didn't get a milkshake, but the Shiner Bock beers were flowing. The guy next to me had a milkshake, though, yesterday. So it was a lot of fun for our Pats Bash. We will be at RJ's, remember, on Thursday for Patriots Giants. Now, though, Monday Mirages. Question 1, the Patriots' balance or lack of balance on offense is concerning to you, real or mirage?
No, nothing's concerning to me with the Patriots right now because of who they've played. I can't even get a real fix on them. I don't think their defense is as historic as people are making them out to be, and I don't think the struggles offensively are as bad as we make them out to be, though the wide receiver core, yeah, I think you need to go ahead and add a wide receiver. People do have injuries on the offensive line, so stop making it like it's a big Patriot thing out there. It's not that concerning. I think they can still right the ship. Everything's going to be okay, but they do have to get themselves one wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, you look on the paper, and I know it was all pretty much one drive in the second half, but Sony Michel did have, what, 91 yards yesterday? I mean, and granted, it all happened at the same time, but I would say the balance isn't what concerns me. It's the lack of protection for Tom Brady. Yesterday made me nervous on a lot of fronts. Washington, the awful Redskins defense, was swarming him in that first half on almost every play.
I'm so glad we have Twitch because you look like you are really hurt. You look like you're about to tear up from these breaks. So if you're looking at Twitch.
That's right. I'm on video, aren't I?
Rich is struggling getting through these. But yes, it's real. The offensive balance or lack thereof does concern me. Look, it's a 42-year-old quarterback. I don't need him in harm's way. You know what puts him in harm's way? Throwing 46 times. Yeah. Throwing 48 times, 51 times, okay? And these aren't shootouts. These aren't close games. These are blowouts that they aren't able or aren't willing to salt the game away with running the football. Look, when you have 38 offensive plays at one point and it's 31 passes, that's a problem, okay? That's a problem. You need to be able to run the football. It keeps the other team off the field. It advances your own field position, allows you to play the field position game, and it keeps Tom Brady safe. I don't need Tom Brady getting hurt. And one of the easiest ways to get him hurt is putting him in harm's way and making him pass it 45, 47, 49 times in front of this patchwork offensive line. I'm glad that at the end of the day, it looked okay, 27 carries for 130 as a team, but it took three quarters for us to finally get to that point. I want to see them be able to come out and physically impose their will, which is the team that we thought they were going to be. And look, yes, they're 5-0, and yes, they've overcome injury and won on the road. And look, the Chiefs didn't overcome injury yesterday and win. The Chargers haven't overcome injury. The Patriots are doing things still that other teams aren't, but they're not winning any style points doing it. You don't need style points all the time, but at some point, it's going to catch up to you, the lack of balance.
By the way, Zach says that if the Patriots had to face a real defense like the Bears, Brady would leave on a stretcher.
if they're throwing it 50 times a game against a defense like that, that would be a problem.
Oh, I can't wait till they play a defense like that.
Well, they'll be playing a lot of them in the second half of the season. So.
Jeez.
Anyway, it's funny. There's all of a sudden now, there's only two undefeated teams. Who's the other undefeated team, Arnie? Do you know? A little quick trivia because it surprised me.
Is it the Lions?
It's the 49ers.
Oh, the 49ers, right. They're undefeated 3-0,
and of course,
right?
They haven't played. They'll play tonight.
Yeah, they'll play tonight.
But how about that? Whoever saw that coming? The second
Jimmy
to last
G.
undefeated team, the 49ers?
No, luckily, they had a bye in there, so they're only 3-0.
I'll tell you what is Jimmy G's, Tom Brady, and Jacoby Brissett's record? All damn three good, right? You know, think about that, 3-0. 5-0, that's 8-0, and Jacoby Brissett, are they 3-2?
I think 3-2.
So
11-2.
Not too bad for three quarterbacks all on the same team out there, huh? They knew what they were doing, backup quarterbacks.
It doesn't always turn out that way for former New England coaches, that's for sure.
No,
but as far as quarterbacks go,
I didn't know Jacoby Brissett was that good when he was here. I thought maybe they just, he's a nice player, but there's nothing really there.
Remember, they got beat 16-0 by Buffalo in the one game that he started in relief of Jimmy Garoppolo. He started week four a couple years ago.
Right.
Now, Garoppolo got hurt in week two, and they came out and won on Thursday night. I think it was 23-0. They beat Houston.
Right.
And then they got beat 16-0 by Buffalo.
Because we were at RJ's.
That was last, two years ago.
Two years ago.
Okay.
All right.
Crazy.
Monday Mirage's question two. The Patriots' secondary is the best part of this defense. Real or Mirage?
I think that's real. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best part of their defense. Historic or as great as they are, that's where it all starts there. Very tough to pass the ball against them. Great coverage downfield. You know what's best is they really don't have to do zone. They can go man-to-man if they have to. I have utter confidence in their defense, but that is the best part of their defense.
And they won't let you burn them. They just won't. I mean, Colt McCoy's average per completed pass yesterday, 4.4 yards.
Jeez.
I mean, think about that. All it was just dump off, and the secondary was playing not a prevent defense, but basically a form of that. Then they said, you're not going to burn us deep. So they let him make those passes. And, you know, you talk about all the great job by the pass rush. Well, guess why? McCoy was double and triple pumping a lot of times. And you know why he wasn't letting go of the ball? Because the secondary was suffocating his receivers, and there was a lot of secondary sacks out of those six the Patriots had yesterday.
It's real. You're right. When you look at Stephon Gilmore, the McCourty brothers, Harmon, Chung, when he plays, I know he didn't play yesterday, but Jonathan Jones.
Yeah, he was a scratch.
Jawan Williams, he's been injured. He's injured now. But so, yes, the secondary is the best part, but the linebacking group, I think, is the most impressive to me. Because it was the group with the farthest to come. A linebacking core that was not very good last year. They were slow and old-looking. Hightower comes back with a vengeance. Collins has been great. Van Noy has been really good. Chase Winovich is really good. He's got the team lead in sacks, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, Winovich has been all over the field, too, in various ways. So, Juwan Bentley had a huge hit yesterday on a screen pass at one point. So, they have done things really well with 4 to 5 to 6 linebackers rotating in and out. Question 3. Golden Tate has a right to be unhappy with the way the Giants used him yesterday. Remember, just 3 catches for 13 yards.
That's a mirage. I said they targeted him 6 times. Yeah, you could target him more. Go up to 10, maybe 12. First game back, you had the 4-game suspension. You know, break it in nice and easy there. You got a rookie quarterback. You have some injuries, and your Saquon Barkley's out. You know, don't be such a curmudgeon. I know he was asked, and he had to answer the questions. He could have done a better job of answering that question, though, so I don't like that.
Another wide receiver full of himself. The shocker.
Boy, yeah.
Whoever saw that coming. This is absolutely a mirage. Talk to me a month from now when he's had 4 targets, you know, for 4 straight games. You have absolutely no... First of all, you let your team down by getting that huge deal and then basically just not being available for the first 4 games. He has no right to be. He can be unhappy, but don't voice it after game 1 of your career in a Giants uniform.
Well, the question is, does he have a right to be unhappy?
Oh, that's a mirage.
The answer is real.
It's too early.
You just said he has a right to be unhappy, but not to vocalize it. The question is, does he have a right to be unhappy? The answer is yes. The answer is real.
That's like being unhappy after your first week of marriage. Come on.
Look, should he have voiced his displeasure? No, I'm with you guys 100% on that. But he played 46 of 69 offensive snaps. Okay, this is a guy who 100% was brought in, we thought, to be the team's best and most high-profile wide receiver. He was the guy brought in to alleviate the pain of losing Odell Beckham Jr., and he plays only 2/3 of the snaps. Okay, Saquon Barkley out. Wayne Gallman hurt early, doesn't come back. Virtually no running game for the Giants. Get the ball in Golden Tate's hands and let him do something with it early. I would have thought that this was a game. Look, we had 3 people last week tell us about how good Golden Tate is. Austin Gale last Monday, Joseph Fourier, former NFL tight end on Tuesday, and Matt Verderam on Friday. All 3 of those people said this guy has great hands and he's a security blanket for Daniel Jones. And they didn't get him the ball that much, and they didn't even play him enough to allow him to get that. Look, I would have thought he would have had 11 catches for 84 yards yesterday. I would have thought, look, yes, he's going to catch the ball close to the line of scrimmage, but he's going to be able to get some targets. He didn't get a lot of targets yesterday.
Is it all Jones' fault that they didn't get him the ball? He missed 3 targets on him. Whose fault was that? Did he run the wrong route? I mean, if you ran the wrong route, then I'm going to really pin it on him. You can't blame it on the quarterback, or maybe he didn't have enough time, but those 3 drops came from somewhere, Brady. Give him one more game. Let's see what happens next game.
Well, Sterling Shepard's probably not going to play on Thursday back in the concussion protocol, so he certainly should be
15 targets.
A bigger part of the offense. Well, look, if you don't know exactly what's going to happen, but the Giants certainly are going to need some help on Thursday. You've got to figure that Tate's going to be a part of the offense. You know, the Patriots will key on him, too. They wanted to acquire Tate last year, so they have had affinity for how Golden Tate plays. Last question, the Giants should play Saquon Barkley on Thursday night. Real or mirage?
I guess that's real. If he's ready to go, let's do it. Even 90%. Yeah, I would love him to hit sit out. Didn't get another 10 days rest after that, so you get 2 full weeks. But if he's ready to go, it's a big game. Giants 2-3. I know you didn't have high expectations. A win here, get you back to 500. That division's no great shakes. Can't believe in Philadelphia. Dallas is going the wrong way. You could salvage the season with a win, so I guess I got to get him out there.
This is a tricky one because we don't know what he looks like. I mean, is he cutting fully right now? They're talking, 4 to 8 weeks?
They said
this
he
has
ran
been
pretty
three.
Well.
He's looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, if he looks like he's ready to go, then you might as well do it, but you better be very, very sure, because I originally wanted to say to mirage to this, but you know what? We don't see what he looks like other than the little bit of video we've seen, and he looks great. I would not put him out there when you know you have a 10-day break after an unwinnable game. I just don't think Saquon Barkley is worth putting out there in a game that they're not going to win.
It's real because if he's ready, he should play. And if he's a freak of nature, he's a freak of nature and he should play. The one thing I don't want is for them to let their other situations dictate what they do with Barkley. If they look at the injury report and see, well, Shepard's out and Ingram's hurting and Gallman's not going to be able to play because he's out too. And if they just start looking at the injury report piling up and say, okay, well, I guess we got to throw Barkley out there. That's the wrong way of looking at it. If he's 100%, then he should play. But if he's 80%, don't just put him out there to cover for the other injuries. That would be the wrong way to handle your best asset as the franchise.
You know what I've never seen? And I think in the NFL, if you're listed it out before the game, you can't play, obviously. But in the NBA, you know, you could be game time decision and maybe go through warm-ups and they'll say, no, you don't have it. I've never seen a guy go, you know what? I want to play the last 5 minutes of the game. I haven't played. I feel I can help out. Why don't you do that? I mean, a guy that's like, I'm not feeling well or something, and then it's like, you know, I think I can help the last 5 minutes of a basketball game. Football, you can't come in, right? Once you're done.
I would imagine once you're listed as out, you're out. And then even if you were listed as doubtful.
Yeah. Then you could still play then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but you have to be activated. And a lot of teams don't want to waste. Because like in the NBA, everybody can sit on the bench and it doesn't matter.
Right, but in
the NFL, you get seven inactives. You want to use them wisely.
I always thought, if Michael Jordan's out, you're like, you know what? I could go the last 5 minutes now. Like, get me in the game. I could do this. And I've never seen that happen. It's unbelievable. 802-655-6672, the four-minute football fix. That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
We're back with the two old guys and the young kid talking sports. That is, if Brady wakes them up from the naps they took during the break. 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, The Game. Jeremy, I think, is our qualifier for the Bucks and Trucks one.
So is that who he's talking to?
Yeah, that's who he's talking to. I was listening right now. I was just eavesdropping, waiting for him to come back.
Must have either a really long address or a very long email address. Brady's still talking to him.
Yeah, Brady's still talking to him. So we get a lot of calls for that. A lot of people want to win a car. I'm surprised.
Do you realize that of the first 20 qualifiers, four of them have been from Enosburg Falls?
Get out of here.
Isn't that bizarre?
That is very bizarre. It's
not a huge town, and it's definitely not real close to here.
I love that. So, yeah, they call crazy to try to win that car. That's a good contest.
Especially you get choices of cars.
Glad I came up with that one.
Yeah, that was a great move on your part.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very
much. That's why we pay the big bucks, my boy.
What are we giving away, though? What kind of car? Do we know? Do you get to choose?
Yes, you get to choose.
Good. I like that. That makes it even better. Do they have Maseratis?
Yeah, that was not, I don't believe, one of them.
South Burlington Ferrari? That's not the one we're giving
away. South Burlington Ferrari.
You never been to the Burlington
South? No, I've never seen the South Burlington Ferrari. Where is that?
You got to go. It's on Shelburne Road.
Of course it is. Where else would it be? Where they all are.
Oh, I love it. Tough or tired. Text line if you want to jump in. 802-655-6672. Brady, we got a qualifier. It was Jeremy. So I want to thank Jeremy for calling us.
Where's Jeremy from?
Yeah.
Jeremy is from Huntington.
It's a lot of small town.
Yeah.
A lot of our qualifiers, I was just saying four of the first 20 qualifiers are from Enosburg Falls.
Well, I love this story. Let me divert from the four-minute football fix for a second. I love this story that in the 1 o'clock hour, Arnie, the caller called in at like 150, and you just texted in, phone's going crazy, I think the contest is going. So as opposed to answering the phone and taking the information from the qualifier, you just texted us, the phones are ringing, making Rich or I come and answer it.
Yes,
why don't you just walk 10 feet and say, hello?
I could have done that.
10 feet.
I could have answered the phone.
Instead, you just let it ring.
Or I could have texted you guys to come in and answer the phones.
Which you chose
I
to
was
do.
Busy. I had stuff going on.
Like what? What were you doing? Hammering on salespeople or talking to your brother?
Everything. Everything. There was just so much going on. It was crazy. The phones were ringing. I'm like, is the contest going on now? Hello? Someone better get in here. I started yelling for Brady, but he had his door closed. And then I said, Brady, get up here.
Just helpless.
Yeah, I was.
You really are. When did you start becoming helpless? At what age?
But you know, if I would have answered, I would have just said, fine, you get the truck. There you go.
It.
You got it, buddy.
Oh, yeah. That would have gone over real big.
Yeah, you would have messed something up. Yeah. That is for sure.
I gave away an extra $2,000 one day in Los Angeles by accident.
Oh.
And the boss said, that's a colossal F up. But he didn't use the word F. He used the whole word.
Okay.
I said, hey, dude, that's not my fault.
Did he fire you?
No, but
it cost your station $2,000.
Well, because I thought there was this song and they sounded alike, and I started giving away the $1,000. But it wasn't the right song. But it had to highlight it on my sheet saying, "This is the song." And I said, "Okay, it's the song."
No.
I gave away an extra thou.
That's like my car giveaway where none of the cars work story.
Yeah.
we've all had our radio nightmare. Oh, Brady hasn't had one yet, but no. He will.
Oh, yeah.
He has one on a daily basis.
Have I had a radio nightmare yet? I would say no, knock on wood. Nothing that's as catastrophic as what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's some radio nightmares.
Yeah, I was telling the story last hour, if you're just tuning in, about that we had 40 keys and one of them started a car. We went through all 40 and none of them started.
So what did you do after that?
So we just told everybody we screwed up and hang on for another couple of hours, and we tested the key and we eventually one of them did start the car.
Oh, okay. So you end up giving away the car.
Yeah, the person who had the right key, for whatever reason, the car didn't turn over. Apparently he didn't turn the key correctly or whatever.
Gosh.
I know. Can you imagine?
So the guy had the key all along?
One of them had the key. That was part of the problem, was the fact that somebody in that crowd of 40 knew that they had the right key, but hadn't turned it over correctly. So, I mean, talk about a CF.
Oh, I love it.
At least it wasn't you.
Yeah.
No. And that was a four-minute football fix.
Yeah, give us a four-minute football fix, but make it 2 minutes. What do we got?
All I can tell you is that Jay Gruden did end up getting fired after playing the Patriots.
No shock about that. By the way, that video that was released, that was from a year ago or many years ago. Do we know exactly? It wasn't recent, right? We're not saying that it was this year.
What video?
The video of him canoogling, is that a word?
Canoodling.
Canoodling with a young female smoking something that looked to be marijuana, but we're not sure what it was. That video is what I'm talking about.
No, I haven't seen that video.
That video, the one that's, it's making its rounds. It was released on, I think it was Friday night, but that video wasn't the good one. I don't know if how long ago that one was. Could have been a year ago. I can't tell. Nobody can tell the time frame yet, but I'm sure it will come out. But yeah, he deserved to lose his job anyway. That was a cluster. That was going in the wrong way real fast.
Classic Daniel Snyder way of doing it. I'm sure he had nothing to do with it. Apparently, he came in at 5 o'clock this morning and got fired on the spot.
Daniel Snyder called him in for a 5 o'clock meeting.
Okay, is that what it was?
Horrible. Just fire him yesterday. Fire him yesterday off the. Well, he don't have a plane. Just fire him yesterday after.
Let the man sleep. Yeah,
he had to go. All right, I got a great story. For last story standing, it will affect Brady's life. There's no doubt about that. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Wacky or insightful? We've saved the best for last. It's time for Last Story Standing. Right. On the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, Brady, this is the big story. Open concept. It's a brand new bar in St. Louis.
Okay.
It may be revolutionizing the whole alcohol game. They don't charge you per drink.
Okay, so you pay for the night and drink as much as you want?
You pay per hour.
Okay.
I like the sounds of that.
You go into the bar, you pay for an hour. Guess how much it costs to drink for an hour? As much as you can drink.
$30.
$10 per hour for premium beer, wine, and liquor. $20 per hour for access to the top shelf beer, wine, and liquor. Now, of course, you could have a whole night for $200 and blah, blah, blah. It goes on. But for the most part, $10 per hour for premium wine, beer, and liquor. So that's liquor, too.
That's really good for bingers.
And $20 an hour for the top shelf stuff, wine and liquor also.
That's pretty good.
Isn't that encouraging drinking as fast as humanly possible?
Brady, if you could drink more than $10 worth of beer in an hour.
Yes. Depending on what you're drinking, yes.
Well, if you're drinking top shelf, that's $20 an hour now.
Yeah, but is beer considered top shelf?
No, but the IPAs is top shelf. Budweiser will be the $10.
If a Budweiser would usually cost you $3.50, that would be about three beers in an hour. Which is a good pace.
That's encouraging. So binging is what it's doing.
Right, so you would have to have four beers for you to make it worth it then, and that's really to chug it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually think the bar is making out.
It doesn't seem
just
like
as good
be.
As you think you are.
I would think, you know, it's always like those all-you-can-eat buffets going, I'm going to destroy them.
And then what's going to happen is that, look, I'm going to have the, I'm going to pay $10 for the first hour. I'm going to have four, and I'm going to beat the system.
Right.
But then the next hour, I'm going to pay $10 for the hour and have two, and then we're going to be even.
Exactly.
Right. And then I'm going to pay for the third hour, and I'm going to have one. And then they're going to have won.
I'm surprised this hasn't been suggested before. That seems like a pretty novel idea.
I want to see what their books will look like, how much they're going to make. That I want to see the bottom line, how profits is.
That's going to be a messy scene, though. People are going to be chugging one after another.
It could revolutionize the whole bar industry if it gets caught on.
I think you could do that with beer. I'd be more worried about the liquor. If you start getting people to chug liquor, that is where I would start to worry.
Yeah. Especially the top shelf stuff.
Yes, and especially when you're on the clock. You're on the clock.
What do we got tonight, my friend?
49ers and the Browns on this here radio station. Pre-game for Monday Night Football tonight from the Bay Area at 7:30. Yankees at Minnesota, 8 o'clock pre-game show as the Yanks get out the brooms maybe in the Twin Cities tonight. That's on WVMT.
All right. Thanks to any interns today, Brady.
Intern Danny and Intern Danny. That's it.
Intern Danny and Intern Danny did a very good job. Appreciate the calls, text, all that stuff. Be safe out there. See you tomorrow. Bye.
When it comes to sports, one station says it all. WC